2007-2008, 10 men's basketball. Setting the scene for the game going around the Ivy League and bringing you inside the program with Quaker head coach Glenn Miller, it's the Penn Men's Basketball Pregame Show, presented by Pepsi. Alongside former Quaker Vince Curran, here's Brian Feldman.
The Penn Quakers ran into their fair share of problems en route to a 5-12 non-conference finish. But tonight, they receive a clean slate for the Ancient Eight as the Red and Blue begin their quest for a fourth consecutive Ivy League crown, hosting Harvard. With that, from the Palestra, capacity 8,722 on the campus of the University of Pennsylvania in West Philadelphia, this is Penn Basketball. I'm Brian Seltzer with you on the Pepsi pregame show. It is the Quakers' 18th game of this 2007-2008 season. The Red and Blue, as I mentioned earlier, 5-12. 0-0 in the Ivy League. Their first conference game tonight, Harvard 6-12, 1-1 in the Ancient Eight. This contest marks the Red Blues' first in Ancient Eight action and their 153rd meeting with the Crimson. Penn has posted triumphs the past 11 times they've taken on Harvard, and they command the overall series 125-27 and defeated Harvard 67-52 on February 10th and 83-67 on February 23rd of last year. And now as I bring in my partner on the broadcast,
take a breath.
Is it you, Vin Man?
It is I.
Is it really?
Did you miss me?
In person.
I asked Glenn if he missed me, too. Everybody miss me?
I did. I really did.
I miss you, Duffy. You're looking good, though.
Well, I bring out my best for these Ivy League games.
Sharp dress, Natalie clad, as they like to say. Got a fresh cut working.
Well, Vin Man, the Penn Quakers, they have lost their last three games, all against Big Five opponents, LaSalle, St. Joseph's, and Temple most recently on Wednesday the 23rd. They've had a couple days off. The Red and Blue have been able to regroup. How equipped are they? How prepared is Penn to begin their quest for what could be a third successful defense of that Ivy League title?
I'm going to make a reference that you might not completely get.
Okay.
It's like going to confession. All your sins have been forgiven. At this point, the Quakers get a fresh start in a time where if you have a tough non-conference season and you struggle a little bit, you want the fresh start. And the nice thing is you get a 10-day break going into it, so you get to erase all the struggles and the tough things. You build on it in practice. You build towards the 14-game tournament. And if you look at it, the Quakers have weapons that are going to be, that will be in fact weapons in the Ivy League. Andreas Schreiber can run and jump, and he's going to play about a foot above everybody else in the league. Brian Grandier has been through the wars. Tyler Bernardini is a scorer that is as good as any scorer in the Ivy League. So all of those things coming together, if Penn gets out there and does their thing tonight, they'll be off to a good start in the league.
The Penn Quakers are 5-12 overall. The Harvard Crimson at 6-12 and 1-1 in the conference. They have split with Dartmouth, and that happened back in January. The Crimson haven't been on the court since January the 11th. On the other side of this break, Vince Curran chats with the Quaker head coach Glenn Miller and his matchup that he has tonight against the Harvard Crimson, led by a new head coach in Tommy Amaker, who formerly led the Seton Hall Pirates and the Michigan Wolverines. That's all coming away on the Pepsi pregame show from the Palestra, right here on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Everyone knows about Aquafina water, but not everyone knows about the variety of flavored water beverages. First, you have Aquafina Flavor Splash, which is like football. Big bunch of tough guys tackling each other. Actually, nothing like that. Pretty much the exact opposite of that. Flavor Splash has a refreshing fruit flavor, not big or tough, but they both begin with the letter F, so there you go. Next, there's Aquafina Sparkle, which is like soccer. Two teams running down the field, both chasing after one little round ball. And Aquafina Sparkling is carbonated, so it has bubbles, and bubbles are round just like soccer balls. And last, there's the low-calorie Aquafina Alive, which is like baseball. So, the excitement of watching a home run. Gotta be in pretty good shape to hit a homer. Sometimes it takes a little something extra, a boost, that comes in a bottle like Aquafina Alive, the drink that has essential vitamins to make you feel good. Aquafina, make your body happy.
It's 5-12 Penn going up against 6-12 Harvard in the Ivy League opener for the Red and Blue. The Crimson already 1-1 in conference competition. They're in the middle of the pack along with Yale, Dartmouth, and Brown. And earlier this evening, Vince Curran, the former Quaker, had a chance to sit down and speak with the Red and Blue's head coach, Glenn Miller, on the night that his team gets what is hopefully a run at their fourth Ivy title in a row underway.
Vince Curran here with Coach Glenn Miller. Coach, as you prepare tonight for the Harvard Crimson, and I think the question that is foremost on all Quaker fans' mind, I've missed the last two games. Did you miss me? I miss the Pens quite a bit, yes.
That's an understatement.
Word is that there's a little flu bug going around, and a couple guys had to miss practice on, was it Wednesday, and some of the coaches had to get ready to suit up, might have needed a couple of warm bodies. How did everybody come through that? What's the injury update at this point? And you know, who's of the coaches, whose game is the tightest right now?
I took off my sweatpants, had my game shorts on. That's as far as it got. So, you know, Coach Martin has the game on a coaching staff. He's young and youngest guy in the staff, and he's in the best shape. So but we had enough guys to go 5-on-5 and, you know, made some progress. We're going to have a couple guys getting Monkton out with the flu tonight, but everybody else should be good to go.
That's the third time in this year that you've had a 10-day or more layoff. Kind of a quirky schedule. You know, it's the third time the charm. What did you go through this time? Obviously, this time you're going into league play, and you may prepare a little differently. How did you come through it this time?
Good. I mean, we separate the two seasons. It's a perfect opportunity to do that. They are two different seasons. You know, once we're an Ivy League player, out of conference season's done. So, you know, refocused, re-energized. The guys know it's a fresh start. And the road to the NCAA tournament is the 14-game Ivy League tournament. So this is the first game in the tournament, and, you know, I think we're ready to play. We've got to try to put together two halves. We haven't done that yet this year. We've showed, despite our record, we showed that we can play some good basketball at times, but we have to do it for 40 minutes starting tonight.
Now, just jumping back quickly and briefly to the Temple game and the St. Joe's game, they seem to have, at least in the Temple game, you got good contributions in the front court from Jack Eggleston and Andreas Schreiber. Have they, especially Andreas, has he turned the corner? Did you see something kind of click with him where you might be able to get some more consistent stuff out of him? Is he going to be, you're going to still shuffle the front court? Is it going to be the same starting lineup? Has Andreas earned himself a little bit, you know, another chance at starting? It's about 12 questions all rolled in there. Pick one and answer, Coach.
I'm a state school guy. I'm going to have to pick one. I certainly can't remember all of them. Andreas has followed up that second, you know, that game against Temple with some good practices where we think he's made progress. His confidence level is up a little bit, and, you know, tonight will be another test for him. He will be in the rotation, and, you know, hopefully he can have another good performance and, you know, just take it to the next level tonight against Harvard.
You would think in a game like this with Harvard's athleticism, Andreas should be able to match that or exceed that given what kind of competition he's going to go up against tonight.
Well, we think so. What we think that Andreas does best is rebound the basketball. And, you know, once we got into Ivy League play last year, we were first in most defensive statistical categories. We were, you know, the best defensive team in the league, and that has to start tonight again.
And Vince Cunningham here with Coach Glenn Miller. And Coach, going back to Harvard, a team coached by Tommy Amaker, a relatively kind of in the middle group. They got a little veteran, they got some size, they got a couple of shooters. Other than getting transfers immediately eligible, what does Harvard do?
Well, they're, you know, this is a Frank Sullivan team, and they have good guards that have ball skills, can shoot the ball, they can penetrate the ball. They're a good penetrating pitch team. And then they have a couple guys in the front court, Magnarelli and Harris, that are very good front court players. People don't know a lot about Magnarelli. He was hurt all last year. He's a very good, talented freshman coming into the league who missed most of last season with a back injury. He's had an outstanding year to this point. And, you know, Harris just came into his own last year, 6'9", left-handed athletic kid who, you know, is going to present some problems on the block for us. And, you know, but they, you know, their guards in Lynn and Hausman are the two key guys that can shoot the ball straight off the dribble.
There's one thing, Coach, that you think has to happen well for you tonight, or something that you need to execute a certain area. What would you say that is? If you had to pick one key for this game tonight for the Quakers to come out victorious?
Well, we want to play fundamentally sound. I'll give you one thing on defense and one thing on offense. Defensively, we have to have good transition D. They're a good fast break team. They go on spurts with their fast break, and, you know, then offensively, we just feel as though we have to pound the ball inside and get the ball into the paint.
Vince Perrin here with Coach Glenn Miller as you prepare for the Harvard Crimson tonight. Coach, good luck.
Thanks, Vince.
And that is the former Quaker, my color analyst Vince Perrin, speaking with the Red and Blues head coach Glenn Miller. Now time for the starting lineups from the Palestra, as it is 5-12 Penn going up against 6-12 Harvard. For Tommy Amaker in his first season in Cambridge, here is his starting five, and there is one very noteworthy change. Pat Magnarelli, the sophomore forward at 6'7", will not be playing tonight. He is likely out for the year with a leg injury.
So Glenn Miller spends all that time talking about Pat Magnarelli in our interview, and throw that out the window.
Pat Magnarelli averages just under 11 points per game, and he leads the Crimson with 6.5 rebounds. So filling in for him is junior forward at 6'9", 230 pounds, Evan Harris. Also in the front court is Brad Unger from Boyertown, Pennsylvania. He's at 6'8", 245 pounds. He's a senior forward. In the backcourt for the Crimson, it's Jeremy Lynn, the leading scorer at 13 points per game at 6'2", 180 pounds. He's a sophomore from Palo Alto, California. Joining him, T.J. Carey, a 6'3", 190 pound freshman guard. And Andrew Kusar, a 6'2", 200 pound junior guard from Westfield, New Jersey. And for the Penn Quakers in Glenn Miller's backcourt, it consists of this trio. Tyler Bernardini, the 6'6", 205 pound freshman guard from Carlsbad, California. And he's joined by Kevin Iggy out of Ripley High School, 6'3", 175 pounds, the junior guard. And the senior captain, of course, is Ryan Grandieri, the 6'4", 190 pound senior guard from Media, Pennsylvania. In the front court, Jack Eggleston, coming off a career high 15 point performance at Temple last Wednesday. He's a 6'8", 215 pounds, the freshman forward from Nobleville, Indiana. And rounding out the Red and Blue starting five is Cam Lewis, the 6'8", 220 pound junior forward from Washington, D.C. The Harvard Crimson in their away crimson uniforms, with Harvard spelled out in white across the front. White numbers on the front and the back, and new this year, white lettering for their names. And for the Penn Quakers, their home whites with Penn spelled out in navy blue across the front. Navy blue numbers on the front and the back.
Under looks like he's put on about 20 pounds since last year. He is a horse.
Now the center circle is put on the left side. It is Evan Harris at 6'8", and Cam Lewis at that height as well. There's the toss, and the tip is taken by Penn, the red and blue, moving from right to left, and Kevin Iggy offering the offense.
And Harvard opens up Celtic in the man-to-man.
Top of the arc, Jack Eggleston, as he looks to get things started for the Penn Quakers in their first conference contest. Cam Lewis looking for Kevin Iggy underneath, but he was shut off. Iggy right side of the lane at the right high post pivot. Top of the arc, Bernardini, bad exchange. It's loose and last touch by, they say, Bernardini. But clearly it was right in front of us, and it looked like then, man, it was Jeremy Williams.
I haven't been away long, Celtic, but I come back, and 22 seconds back, I am greeted by one right in front of us. No doubt about it, that one was off Jeremy Lynn.
Jeremy Lynn at 6'2", a team high 13 points per game, and he's not bad with 4.5 rebounds either. The crowd beginning to grow here at the Palestra as they look to win on the red and blue to get off to a good start in this 8-8 race. Brad Unger at the right high post. He's at far side left to T.J. Carey. Carey top of the arc in the near right alley. They go to Kusar. Kusar at the foul line, lost the ball, picked up by Penn. Quakes work the transition. Bernardini pump fakes the left side. He goes to Lewis on the left block. Cam pivoting, faced by Unger, turning to his right, back to his left, back to his right, no good. Rebound loose underneath, and it's secured by Unger.
Unger, a guy that Cam Lewis will be able to shoot over, so if he takes his time, he will be able to go to work down there. I didn't see Harvard double him that time. I'd be surprised if they double him at all.
Evan Harris at the foul line, hands off to Kusar, pushes into the paint, and produces a pair.
To the aggressor goes the spoils, is that there? To the victor goes. Whatever the saying is, right there, Kusar just took the action to Penn, back down. I think Penn might have gotten caught on a switch right there.
And there's Iggy underneath, lost the ball en route to the rack, and it was swatted out of bounds by T.J. Carey, who has recently replaced Drew Hausman in the starting lineup. Now, Hausman still averages 30 minutes a game, just about. Off the inbounds, Bernardini, left wing, knocks it down from around 17 feet away.
How many times have we seen it, Celtic? We say it over and over again. Penn very proficient at getting shots off their end line out of bounds. That time, Tyler Bernardini wide open from 18.
Tied up at 2, about a minute and 45 seconds in. Harris, far left baseline, back in, ducks under Lewis, and Cam forces him into the wall.
Well, no doubt about that one, Celtic. Harris just does not look all that comfortable, does not look very fluid trying to make those post moves and those counter post moves. That time, I think he was more concerned about drawing the contact and drawing and getting the foul than he was just taking the ball to the rim and trying to get a layup.
Jack Eggleston, left high post, hands off to Grandieri at the foul line, flicks it in from 15 away as the Quakers up 4-2, 18 to go in the first.
Kusar gets hung up on the screen, ends up trailing Grandieri the whole way. And my man Ryan Grandieri from 15 feet, nothing but the bottom.
On the left side of the lane, underneath, there's Kusar to Harris on the right block. Strong move, and he lays it in the cup with his left hand.
Nice finish there by Harris, although if he's able to catch and go up more fluidly, more in one motion, doesn't make that shot as hard on himself.
Throws a cutting Bernard, and he goes up for the jam to give the Quakes a 6-4 edge. 17:30 to go in the first.
Dribble at back door. Kevin Inge dribbles to Tyler Bernardini on the overplay. Bernardini goes back door wide open. No help defense for the Harvard Crimson. 2 points on the throwdown for Tyler Bernardini.
Excellent execution. Carry to Harris. Left side. Cam's in his face, and he draws the contact and roots to the hoop. And then, man, we saw Brian Grandieri get on the board with Penn's 3rd and 4th points at that foul line jumper. It is very important for him to get into the flow of things because he struggled in those big time games.
I think it's, and this is a game where Brian, I think, is on the higher end of the skill level and you know, of the pay scale, as we'd like to say. If he were a CEO, he'd be on the high end. He knows this. This is his world. As Harris steps up and makes the first one, he is very comfortable. And as you said, it is important that he gets off early. And awesome.
He just had 4 points at Temple, 5 of 19 from the field his last 2 games. Evan Harris looking to tie it up, and he does it 6 apiece. Evan Harris with 4 points will go to the bench, and checking in is Kyle Fitzgerald, a 6'7", 200-pound freshman forward.
Interesting substitution right there for Tommy Hammaker. They've run every offensive set through Evan Harris. He's gone to the basket every time. He's been relatively successful. And what's that do? Take him out.
Cam rocks the rim for a jam off the feed from Grandieri as the Quakers take an 8-6 edge, and they flag Kevin Inge for a foul coming back the other way.
Kevin Inge holding on T.J. Carey, but Cam Lewis does a nice job of walking Unger up the lane. It's about 4 or 5 feet separation so that Brian Grandieri is able to make that lob. Tough to throw the lob, especially in tight quarters, but when you get spacing like Cam does right there and you throw the ball to the bottom corner of the backboard, you're going to have success. Cam Lewis, great job with the finish.
And with the full court press, T.J. Carey crosses the timeline near right wing, and he goes top of the arc to Andrew Poussard. Poussard will land at the far left point. The far left corner to T.J. Carey. Foul line Fitzgerald, mishandled. Now he tries to take it in, and he's blocked by Cam Lewis. Cam Lewis to touch it, knocking it out of bounds. 15 on the shot clock.
I'm not sure that Cam Lewis got that. It looks like there was a lot of body, and Fitzgerald holds onto the ball and throws it out of bounds. Harvard keeps it. I thought there might have been a foul right there.
Carey lobs it back out to the lane at the top of the arc with 12 to shoot for the Crimson. 8-6 Penn with the edge, and Cam Lewis calls for the foul as he tried to reach in and poke the ball away from Lynn on the perimeter.
There's no doubt about it. Cam Lewis can't believe the foul called on him. It's his second. And it's 35 feet away from the basket. One, if you're going ahead, you're supposed to. You're supposed to be out there, show and get back. Reaching in like that on a guard, that's far away from the basket. Mental mistake for Cam Lewis, and it's going to find him a spot on the bench as Andreas Schreiber comes in.
Carry to a cutting Fitzgerald over his shoulder, no, and the board is collected by Andreas Schreiber, who just subbed in. Inge bolts back the other way to the rim. The right-hand runner, no, tapping up attempt. Eggleston, no, but it's Schreiber who follows for two. Andreas Schreiber authoritatively takes it in and taps in a couple.
And again, putting pressure on the opposition with their offense. Kevin Inge gets the ball end-to-end very quickly. Harvard never gets set defensively. Eggleston gets one chance at the tap. Andreas gets the finish.
Unger gets the bump and the bucket as he took a lot of steps to the rack, and that one is going to go against Andreas Schreiber. So that's his first personal, and the Quakers fourth as a team. 4 minutes into this game, they have a 10-8 lead.
All right, Chelsea, I know you're not math is your thing, right?
No, it is not.
But we have 3 fouls on Quaker centers in 4 minutes. If the game is 40 minutes, how many fouls does that extrapolate out to Penn centers are getting?
That would be 30.
That would be 30. Way too many fouls out of that position. The Quakers need to do a better job of not reaching, playing defense with their lower bodies, and just being a little bit smarter defensively.
Unger can't complete the three-point play, so it remains 10-8 Penn, 15:49 to go in the first half. Iggy at the far right point, setting up for his red and blue teammates. 8 point on the shot clock, far right baseline. Iggy bolts the bucket for the Deuce.
Evan Inge playing with a lot of confidence tonight and attacking more than he has throughout most of this year.
12-8 is the score, Penn. In the halftime interview I did with Kev, we'll hear why. Lynn lost his footing and roots of the rack, and the ball goes up into the hands of Grandieri, but he couldn't settle it down. He threw it out of bounds in the far left baseline. 15:27 remaining in the opening half between Penn and Harvard. Timeout on the floor to score. Good and blue on top, 12-8. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network. Fans, be sure to visit the official online store of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Get apparel for all of Penn's 33 varsity programs and Ivy League championship gear for men's basketball, men's golf, women's lacrosse, and men's and women's tennis. There's also gifts and collectibles like commemorative replica stands of Franklin Field and the Palestra. Everything's delivered right to your home with the click of a button, so start shopping today at PennAthletics.com.
Hi there, welcome to Chili's. My name's Ashley. What are you up for today?
I'm going to try your triple the cheese smokehouse bacon burger.
Because my kids ask me so many questions, all of my thoughts start with the word because.
Excellent!
Are you stuck in a rut? Pepper in some fun with one of Chili's new smokehouse bacon burgers. They're mammoth-sized burgers with something a little extra. We're talking the thickest, tastiest cut of applewood smoked bacon you've ever seen. Only at Chili's. Pepper in some bacon. Pepper in some fun.
15 minutes and 27 seconds to go in the first half. The Penn Quakers, a strong start for them. 12-8, they lead the Harvard Crimson. Led by Tommy Amaker and the entire Penn staff, along with the Crimson staff, wearing sneakers with their suits for their khakis and their blazers in recognition of Coaches versus Cancer. It's an annual tradition and always nice to see them, man.
If I had known that tonight was Coaches versus Cancer sneaker tonight, I probably could have come a little casual, right?
Yeah.
Gym shorts, t-shirts, sneakers. I could have gotten the headband working, rec spec, put the goggles on.
Did you wear that in your playing days?
I did not, but I think it'd be a good look for me now.
24 on the shot clock for the Crimson. They inbound on the far left baseline. Carry to Lynn, far left point, back to Carry on the wing. Carry motions the hand and sets things up. In the far left corner, it is Unger. Unger with Schreiber jumping up in his face. 13 to shoot. He feeds it on the sideline to Hausman, who nearly lost in the backcourt. 7 on the shot clock.
Not sure how Unger doesn't get the 5-second call on him right there. Andreas Schreiber had him closely guarded.
Unger, as the horn is going to sound, just misses off to the left, but they say the shot clock expired. It wouldn't have counted, so the Quakers clamp down on D and get the ball back.
And that was about as ugly an offensive possession as you're ever going to see. Harvard never even looked at the basket until there was a second to go, and Unger jacks one from about 35.
Graham Huey underneath to Jack Eggleston. There's some contact in the key. This is going to be the Crimson's first team foul, and it's going against Kyle Fitzgerald. Who has been in the game, as we talked about him earlier. He has come off the bench the last three contests. And Vince, I don't think there's anyone more happy in the Ivy League, but E.B. Jabber is no longer with Penn than Drew Hausman.
More happy? Really? Hear the words, Mr. Southie. Happier.
Yeah.
Happier. Come on, man.
Biggie inbounds to Bernardini, top of the arc. Tyler takes it left high post, Landieri left side. Once it goes up with the left hand, no good. Shriver crashes, can't secure the ball, and Lynn settles it down for Harvard.
Notice again, though, Andreas Shriver just way up above everybody trying to get that stick back right there. He is he's longer and much more athletic.
Hausman blows by him. Top of the arc with three. Can't throw it in the chin. Long rebound comes out, and it's going to go back to the red and blue as another foul is going to be committed by Kyle Fitzgerald. That's his second.
And just to complete your easy jabber, thank God you're no longer here, thought he really just seemed to get into Drew Hausman's shorts from the second he walked into the gym. For whatever reason, Hausman, who's had a lot of success against a lot of players, could get nothing going against E.B. Jabber.
Doug Miller out, Dan McGeary in, and for the Quakers, it is Harrison Gaines, who is in Kevin Iggy, who went to the bench with a smile from his head coach, Glenn Miller, and a nice little round of applause as Kevin will be translating that aggressive attitude to the rest of his squad.
Good start for Kevin Iggy, and now Harrison Gaines up to him to keep that going.
Grand Jury, turnaround for two, can't get the bounce, and the board goes to Evan Harris.
Good post feed, though, by Gaines. Good strong post up on the back cut by Grand Jury, just not able to knock it down.
Still 12-8-10 with 14:03 to go in the first half. McGeary, who transferred from New Hampshire after last season that he was eligible this year, and Tyler Bernardini poked the pocket to McGeary. It goes to Miller, who nearly walked back to McGeary, fires for three, and flushes it from behind to bring Harvard within one.
So wait a minute, you're allowed to transfer in and play right away?
Somehow they did it.
Somehow they did it, huh?
We'll explain that a little bit.
More on that later.
12-11. Tyler, top of the arc for the triple. It's good. Tyler Bernardini reciprocates, and the Quakers reestablish that 4-point edge.
Good inside-out ball movement by the Quakers. Ball goes actually not completely inside, but a little below the foul line, and then swing opposite. Pretty good look that time, and Tyler Bernardini, nothing but the bottom.
And there's Carey to Harris. Left foot down. Stuffed by Andreas Schreiber underneath.
Your boy Andreas rotating over. How about the help defense right there in the low post? Jack Eggleston bodying up Evan Harris. and Andreas Schreiber just kind of streaking over there as Harris goes up. He knows he's going to have a little time. Harris not too quick with the ball and just throws it into the first row. Miller off the inbound, tips off Schreiber and uses the bounce for two. A shot by Miller, just in, uses his lower body to create separation, and Andreas not able to get the same kind of lift. But Miller makes the tough one. James looking for a cutting pass on the baseline, intercepting the pass with Miller. Here comes Hausman the other way. Stops left side of the lane, and back to that left alley. Miller top of the arc. Harvard looking to tie or possibly go ahead. They're down by a deuce, 15-13. Carry to the right high post. Under the foul line, Harris, far left baseline, turning around, through Schreiber, too strong. It's loose underneath. Miller fouls, no good, and Schreiber with the rebound. As the Red Bull come back right to one. Harris is not a very fluid player in the low block. Herky-jerky, kind of throws things up and around.
And
surprising with his level of athleticism and length, that he's not a little more confident down there.
And he's going to go against Dan McGeary for Harvard. That's his first and the team's third. So McGeary, he was involved in this transfer controversy. He didn't have to sit out this season because of an NCAA exemption. He was excused because Tommy Amaker was ignorant to Harvard's semester rule that you only have eight to play. Ignorant, in quotes.
So at this point, if he's an attorney, stupidity is a defense. You're allowed to just say, oh, I didn't know about it. I didn't know it was a crime. So I get a pass on that one.
Miscommunication by the Quakers off the inbound as Harrison Gaines lobs it over the head of Tyler Bernardini out of bounds. So Harvard gets it back. Justin Riley into the game for Andreas Schreiber.
If I were a conspiracy theorist, Celtics,
yeah,
and sometimes I may be, I would guess that, I would formulate that they said, oh, what the heck? What do we have to lose? We can bring them in and say, oh, I didn't know anything about it, and see how it works out. And they got the one-time bite.
Tommy Amaker has been turning heads with some of his approach to things so far at Harvard. Hausman on the right side, the runner no good. Rebound collected by Michael Kent. Here comes Penn, ahead 15-13, 12-10 to go in the first. Riley underneath, one dribble on the floor, the hook shot, he gets it to roll and fall through. Justin Riley does a great job in transition of running the floor, putting pressure on Harris, hitting him underneath the basket. Tommy Amaker has seen enough and calls a timeout. Once Harris is pinned underneath there, Riley gets the ball down that low, and nothing that Harris can do about it. Riley up and in. 12-04 left in the opening stanza as the Penn Quakers lead the Harvard Crimson 17-13. And Tommy Amaker, he's the 17th head coach in Harvard's 108-year history, comes in from Michigan, Seton Hall, after Frank Sullivan ended his 16-year tenure there.
If you were going to take a flyer on, kind of slipping somebody in the back door in that transfer rule, is McGeary the type of guy who says, oh, yeah, well, you know what, I'm going to hang my head up.
You're going to do it. Do it right. You know, grab a 6'10 power forward and say, oh, God, really?
Grab a backup guard, Dan McGeary.
Say, yeah, he's one of mine, too. I mean, I'm happy, that the kid's doing well, but, geez, get a difference maker.
He averaged 5.5 and 1.5 last year at New Hampshire, and there he is, top of the arc for the triple, as he brings the Crimson within one, 17-16, 11:50 to go. He has six.
McGeary, a little fire in his belly right there, talking a little smack to Bernardini as he comes back down the floor.
Tyler in the far right alley, pivots away from Lynn, top of the arc, Riley in the lane to Schreiber, turning around off balance, can't get it to fall, and Justin Riley flagged for the offensive foul.
No doubt about it. Justin Riley in tight. Andreas Schreiber gets triple teamed right there, sees the triple team, chooses to ignore it, unable to knock down the eight-footer.
11:34 left in the first half. Timeout on the floor of the score. It's the Penn Quakers 17 and the Harvard Crimson 16. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network.
And now, let's get back to Two Troubleheads Talk Football, presented by Diet Pepsi Max.
Next on the agenda, wear a team jersey or paint the chest. Bill, your thoughts.
Have to go team jersey. It's so obvious.
Wrong again, smart guy. Paint the chest. It takes passion and artistry to paint the chest.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are. Anyways, next up, the Wave. Like it or hate it.
I like the Wave.
Me too.
If it were still 1989, the Wave is about as cool as acid wash peg jeans.
The Wave is a timeless classic.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are. Okay, next up, fans are not off of the game.
Inexcusable. I say no to nodding off. Wake up, people.
I agree. Inexcusable.
Wait. We agree?
Why is it an excuse?
Because they can just have a Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
We've got nothing to argue about here.
Well, how do you spell ginseng?
That's obvious.
G-I-N-S-I-N-G.
Nice,
but you spelled it wrong, Captain Gray Matters.
It's E-N-G.
Sound it out. It's ginseng-ing. You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are.
Zero calorie Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
11 minutes and 34 seconds to go in the first half. The Penn Quakers, a one-point edge over the Harvard Crimson, 17-16 is the score. And Jim Nana, as the Quakers commence conference play tonight, it is now time, especially this year, with the Ivy League really wide open. We turn to the out-of-town scoreboard to give you some updates.
How are we doing, Selfie? What's happening?
Here's what's going on in the Abner's out-of-town scoreboard. Yale trailing Columbia in New Haven about midway through the first half. 14-7 is the score there. And about 4.5 minutes in Providence, and it's the Brown Bears early on top of the Cornell Big Red. 10-4 the score there. Steve Donahue's crew, 2-0 so far in conference play. Passman with the ball for Harvard. Crimson trying to take the lead. McGeary at the near right point. Harvard moving from left to right. Wynn has a whole right side. Steps back to McGeary. Pump fakes under the arc. Top of the key to under. Wynn has it. Far side left with 15 to shoot. Has a hole. Strides in and he just wants the ball. Some pressure by Penn. The Quaker is the last to touch it.
I'd like to see the video replay of that one. Looks like Jeremy Lynn takes a little hockey step there to get started, and I think he was trying to draw the contact going into the lane. Looks like he hit that with his left hand going out of bounds.
12 to shoot for Harvard. A long pass into the backcourt that's retrieved by Lynn with 10 to shoot for the Crimson.
Dangerous that low in the shot clock to throw it back that far.
Unger hoists for three, and he can't get it to go. Schreiber has the rebound.
Grant Schreiber almost loses that ball, going for the one-handed rebound. Andreas, two hands, my man.
Far side, right of the wing, Tyler Bernardini, top of the key. Catch, score three, has a hole, right side, ducks in, can't deliver. Rebound rattles to Hausman.
Hang time for Mike Cash right there. Looks like he might have gotten popped in the grill. Shaking it off, coming back down the floor. Almost makes a tough shot in the lane.
McGeary, foul line, pass had a hand on it by Katz. It goes to Lynn, standing on the arc on the baseline. He lost the ball. There's Katz, and knocked out of bounds by Lynn. So Penn gets it back. Lynn looks like he's all over the place. He's very skittish, and
he is all over the place, Brian. I agree with you. And for a guy that comes in with a reputation of being a shooter and a guy that can kind of get it done and score a little bit, your skittish is a very good word.
Brian Grandieri relieves Tyler Bernardini, who goes to the bench with a squad best 7 points. You think he wasn't ready at all times for his first Ivy League opener? He's perfect so far in his debut from the field.
He's got to be thrilled to be able to get open looks when he doesn't have a 6'10 guy running at him.
Schreiber wide open near left corner, rumbles to the rack, hands off underneath the Grandieri, and Brian was the last one to touch it.
Why, though?
Yep.
Why throw it to Brian Grandieri, who looks like he's pinned underneath the basket? Andreas Schreiber is, again, an arm and a head and about 2 feet above everybody, and Jeremy Lynn is standing there, not challenged. Put that one up. Just a little hook shot right there.
17-16, Penn still by one, with 10 to go in the first. Jack Eggleston returns to the game for Dre on the far left baseline. It is Unger to Harris, top of the arc. In the near right corner to Dan McGeary. McGeary, top of the key, Hausman, 13 to shoot, back to McGeary. Pulls the trigger for the lead, no good. Rebound wide open for Riley, far side. James, twitch pass to D, to the rack, the runner is good. 19-16, for an athletic move from Harrison Gaines.
Harrison Gaines with the cross over there at the top of the key, and now gets called for the reach in on Hausman. Harrison Gaines trying to replace E.B. Jabber in the point guard Hausman hates club.
What happens to wear a Penn uniform? That's the 16th foul against Penn in the first four Harrison.
Gaines did a nice job right there, again, though, putting pressure on Harvard's defense, getting the ball right up the floor, and getting to the basket before Harvard was able to get set.
Harris to Unger, free on the near right baseline, can't hit, rebound to Katz, and the Quakes are going to run it back the floor. Gaines stops, top of the arc, settles it down. Riley, hoist for three, off the mark to the right. Lynn leaps for the rebound. Riley had a wide open look, and he's accurate from the outside. This doesn't take a lot of shots. Harris, double team denied, and the ball deflects to Grandieri, and bodies hit the floor as Justin Riley is up on his feet, and Jack Eggleston pushes Andreas Schreiber back to the bench because
Schreiber's out because he came off the bench. And Jack Eggleston does a nice job. I'd be interested in seeing the end of that. I'm going to put that one on Evan Harris as he started. Looks like Justin Riley bumped his head as he went down, so he looks like he might have a little cut.
Well, that is going to be a big turn of events if Andreas Schreiber is tossed from this game. That is going to be a big loss for the Penn Quakers. They're ahead 19-16 with 9:03 to go. There was a collision underneath. Bodies flew.
Collision, I know. I think Harris, again, gets a little frustrated that he has to work as hard as he does and throws the teepee at Justin Riley. That would be my read on it. Although, let's be honest, Duffy, I'd like to see the replay of it before I convict Harris.
Well, it was interesting that Dre, he just shot right on. He was peeved. There
right
is no
bag.
Doubt about that. As Dre is hanging around, and we'll see if he heads off to the locker room in the northwest corner.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think they're going to call fouls on both Harris and Justin Riley, which is the wrong call. The foul should have been on Harris, but Andreas Driver, for coming off the bench, probably is gone. And how about Jack Eggleston being the one that says, hey, yo, my man, get back on the bench.
But now the coaches are out. Glenn Miller speaking with Jeff Nichols, Jim Haney, and Tim Kelly. Tommy Amaker out there.
See if we get a read on this one.
As we turn up the mic to the crowd, we'll see if we can listen in.
Spygate over here.
And Vince, you remember back to last year at Harvard when these two teams got into a little bit of a scrum. Aaron Cohen giving the business to Jeremy Lin after he knocked Joe Gill to the floor.
That's right. I forgot about that stuff.
Yeah.
Dynamite dropping.
You know, it's just that memory. Is now the refs are trying to replay what's happening, and Andreas Driver is still standing by the Penn bench.
The good news is no punches were thrown.
Yeah.
Although it was close.
19-16 the score, 9:03 left in the first half. The Penn Quakers with the lead as Andreas Driver, between the second half of the Temple game, and even the first half as well, he's been aggressive, and that translator right there, it might cost him in this contest, though.
Now, what's the rule? If he throws a punch, he gets suspended for a game. What's the rule for coming off the bench? This is something that
I think it is.
We'll find that out and let everybody know.
So we will see what happens as Glenn Miller and Tommy Amaker still talking things over in their sneaks for coaches versus canceling. Connor Turley has taken off his warm-up jersey, and it seems like he will be getting ready to check in. And the Penn Quakers, not only would they lose Andreas Driver, who is an athletic, difference-making big man against the team the likes of Harvard, but the Quakers' bigs are already in foul trouble. Sam Lewis has two, and Justin Riley picked up one, and Dre has not yet left.
So this is going to be a night when you look maybe to Connor Turley to give you a little bit of an extra contribution. And we don't know if Justin Riley will be back. He was holding his head, although looks like Phil Samko has come out of the locker room. So,
and Andre
got an update on that.
Dre and Glenn Miller talking, and it looks like Dre is going to take a walk to the locker room. He has been tossed out. So the foul is going to go against Justin Riley. That's his second. And the Quakers, that is their seventh team foul. So how this will factor into the equation will be very intriguing, because you hate to see that happen to Dre, because the intention was good for him.
I took my headset off there, Chelsea, to try and find out what the call was.
And it's to Ben Votel also. It looks like Ben Votel was on call. Wow.
And that was the read that I was trying to get. Votel and Schreiber are out.
Wow.
And a foul on Harris. He will shoot 1-1 because Penn is over the limit.
And as we heard
out on Justin Riley. So now Evan Harris will go to the line. There's a little delay right now as Dan Harrell, the custodian here at the Palestra, is cleaning up the floor. Looks like there might have been a little blood from a cut on Andreas Driver.
Well, and now
a little delay.
Now they're saying it's an intentional foul on Evan Harris as well.
Oh, that's the right call.
And it's a personal against Justin Riley. So now Justin Riley has yet to return to the bench. And the Quakers,
I mean, like Justin Riley, intentional foul on Evan Harris. So Justin Riley gets a foul call on him just for getting intentionally fouled? Is that, you know, that's kind of a stinkery. He gets it on a couple different levels. One, he cut his head and is in the locker room. And now, Brennan Votel out, Andreas Driver out, possibly Justin Riley out, and Evan Harris now at the line, and the Penn fans letting him hear it. I got to be honest with you, Chelsea. I wasn't sure what kind of crowd we were going to get tonight for this, but there is a good crowd here.
A
good crowd here. They're loud.
Harris pitches first. He now has 5 points, and he makes it 19-17 with 9:03 to go. This all developed when Harris colliding with Riley. It seemed like Harris was the one at fault. An intentional foul against Harris. A personal to Justin Riley. 2 ejections. Harris can't hit his second as it remains 19-17 with 9:03 to go.
All right. Now, it's important for Penn. The initial gut reaction is somebody's got to clean Harris's clock. You can't do that. You've got to be smart. Everybody's going to be watching. As Tyler Bernardini now shooting the intentional free throws for Penn.
Any connection on his first.
Penn needs to regroup, reload, play hard, play physical. You can't let Harris, his activity make you back down from a fight as Tyler Bernardini hits the second. Now the referee's pulling all the players in.
That's a good move.
That's a good move. If I'm a player, I ignore that. I'll be honest with you. I completely ignore that. If I'm Brian Grandieri out there, all right, let's go beat the heck out of them on the court.
And Justin Riley still not back on the Penn bench. So the Quakers have Connor Turley, Jack Eggleston, and Cam Lewis, along with Justin Riley as the forward. Dan Munson, he's a longer, bigger guard, not playing in this game. He's out with mono, as Glenn Miller said in the beginning of the game. Jack Eggleston, far side right, pump fakes top of the key, game thought three. Left side gives it to Bernardini. First baseline, set off by Lynn. A wide pass back to Gaines with 16 to shoot. Quakers up 21-17. Eggleston hoists for three. Can't hit. Rebound deflects to Harris, who settles it down.
Now Harris now the biggest guy on the floor by a wide margin. Oh, man. Timmy Kelly with an awful call.
And it's going to go against Jack Eggleston.
Calling on Jack Eggleston.
Great for the Quakers.
Giving Brad Unger the business with the lower body. And if anything, you now realize that the officials, that's how they're going to call the rest of this game.
Yep.
So if I'm Penn, offensively, I'm aggressive like crazy because you know it's going to be called very tightly. I take everything I can to the rim. I take everything I can into traffic. And defensively, Penn's front court getting a little thin.
Unger hit his first one. The second one on the backhand, he buries it. Unger now with 4 points at Harvard, down by two. 21-19, 8.5 to go in the first. The landscape of this contest has changed tremendously in the front court for the Quakers. Bernardini rolls it right in the hands of Carey, who picked off the pass intended for Eggleston.
Bernardini, like a quarterback who didn't see the linebacker in the middle of the field, just throws it in there, doesn't see it, it gets picked.
Poussard on the perimeter, the line drive, no good. Lynn tracks down the rebound in the near right corner, passes it back out to Carey at the near right point. Carey, double team, back to Poussard, who's picked up by Gaines. Lynn in the near right corner. 23-2 for the Crimson. Looking to tie or go ahead. Top of the arc carry. Far side left to Poussard. Poussard back to Lynn. So three in the lead. Off the further rim, no good. And there's a foul. There's a foul against Harvard.
Happy about that one, huh, Chelsea? I think what, and this media timeout, I think comes at a good time for Penn. Gives them a chance to regroup. I think it benefited Harvard, not only the players that were out, but turning this into a street fight, a less skilled type of event. So we'll see what that happens. Well, how Penn handles that coming out of this timeout.
Penn with the ball on the other side. Once again, Brennan Botel, the junior forward, the big man off the bench, along with Andreas Schreiber, both ejected in this contest. Justin Riley dealing with an injury. How will the Quakers front court handle it? 7:47 left in the first half. Timeout on the floor. The score, 10-21. Harvard 19, Quaker basketball and Sports Radio 950.
Penn basketball fans. TECO isn't just committed to providing you with reliable, affordable energy, it's committed to the community. TECO supports a wide variety of arts, educational, environmental, and neighborhood programs for Quaker Hoops fans of all ages. And TECO employees volunteer thousands of hours as board members, mentors, coaches, and tutors. It's all part of TECO's commitment to customers and the community. For more information on TECO's community involvement, visit their website at www.teco.com.
So tell me, what do you love about Keto the Mexican Grill?
I love the taco salad.
It's fast, fresh.
Burritos, quesadillas, tacos.
Five sauces. Oh, yeah.
I got to the point that if I had to eat something one more time that wasn't good for me just because I was in a hurry, I was going to go crazy. And I found Qdoba, and I'm up.
Yeah, you can prepare for a month straight to get something different every day. Everybody can make what they want, and that's a good burrito. That's what I love.
That's what I love about Qdoba. Qdoba Mexican Grill. Hundreds of original flavors you won't find anywhere else. Only fast, fresh, and right in front of you. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
As we get reset, there are a little hiccups right there on the broadcast, so we're back with you. 7:47 left in the first half. 21 points for Penn, 19 for Harvard. Quakers with the ball and undermanned up front. Two of their players gone. Brent Botel and Andreas Schreiber for leaving the bench. There's Bernardini, far side right, to the rack, in the lane, turnily, underneath, just like a two Grand Deary. He gets it to roll off the left of the rim for two. 23-19, Quakers, Grand Deary with four.
And this will be a big game for Brian Grand Deary to kind of show his leadership and put this team on his back a little bit.
Russo on the perimeter, no good. Rebound to Jack Eggleston, to Harrison Gaines. It's 4-1-3 for the Quakers the other way. Gaines runs right over P.J. Carrion, there's the offensive foul. That's going to be the Quakers' ninth.
Tough call for Harrison Gaines. He will now come out, and Kevin Iggy will replace him. Second foul for Harrison. So Kevin Iggy, who got off to a good start, going to need to do it again.
They squeeze the floor as there's been a lot of contact in a very spirited game so far.
What kind of game, Selfie?
It's nice.
If I were playing with my limited skill set, this is the game that I'd like to do. I think I'm going to throw it around a little bit.
William, the near side right on the wing. Top of the arc to Unger. Back to Carey at the far left point with Iggy waving hands in his face. McGeary, as there's a foul the other way. That one going against Harvard. And
Brad Unger. I just wonder not get teed up right there. When you swing your arm at the official and tell him he's just working. If this is for the NBA, he gets teed up. But it was a good call. Moving screen. He had his elbows out. Relatively easy call. I'm not sure what Unger was feeling right there.
Power Turley, top of the arc to Iggy at the far right point. 23-19, Penn with 6:49 to go in the first. Grand Deary drives left side of the lane. The left-hand runner too strong. Loose underneath it. Carey steps out of bounds. Ball retained by the red and blue.
I like Grand Deary's aggressiveness, though. Taking the ball through the shin, knowing it's being called tightly, and gets out there and just takes it right at the Harvard defense.
And here's a man hailing from Hamm, Germany, out of Landschulheim Schloss Hessen High School, making his first appearance for the Harvard Crimson. 6'11", 250 pounds, the junior forward, Jem Dentz.
James Judy Dentz?
I think a distant relative, perhaps.
Ulm, Germany? Hamm, Germany? Was he friends with Jan Sikiel?
Ulm is Sikiel's hometown. Off the inbound, curling to the 10, too strong. Can't tack on two. Ball back to Harvard. They rumble back the other way.
Got to make Harvard pay every time you can. There's another nice screen out high by Harris.
Carry the win, far side left. Harris top of the arc to Dentz in the lane. The hook shot, can't hit it, board to Grand Deary. Dentz was actually being looked at by the Quakers. They had him on campus back in the spring. They passed. He actually spoke with the Quaker coaching staff before the game. And there's a violation away from the play. This one going against Harvard. And it looks like Dan McGeary. That's the second, and the Crimson seventh, so now the Quakers trying to get it done at the foul line.
Evan Harris not looking to make any friends tonight. I have no problem with that. Being an opposing player, you go into a hostile environment. He has set the tone. Somebody for the Quakers needs to, you know, you ever watch Charlie Murphy talking about what he had to do with Rick James? You know, then I had to step and check him. Somebody's got to check Evan Harris. He's running roughshod at this point. Somebody needs to step up to him and say, yo, my man. Mr. Palestra, you don't get to act like that in here.
Bernardini's front end falls as Tyler in this game has 10 points as trainer extraordinaire Phil Stamko just went over the scores table and said Justin Riley is back, but he's wearing Danny Munkton's number 30 jersey. That's what he told the officials as Bernardini connects on his second. The Penn Quakers lead it now by 6 points, 25-19, and for the Quakes, that's their largest edge in this game.
That's dynamite work by you there, Celtics, because I had 20 years of not seeing Phil Stamko go to the scorer's table.
And Marlin draws the foul as he goes to the near right baseline, as it looks like Jem Dentz walked with it before passing it off to Lynn, and that's going to go against Tyler Bernardini. That is his first, and now it's the 10th team foul against the Quakers, so Harvard will go to the foul line.
Jem Dentz sporting, I'm not sure what that is. That's like the German version of the Frohawk. That's big over in the club.
The center spike?
The center, yeah. I don't know what you kids are doing these days, Chelsea.
That's one misfires on his first. And here goes Jem Dentz. His even man can take a look at that if you want to.
Oh, my God. Man. The size of him.
Lou Houseman comes in, so Harvard going small. The second throw in is no good as well. A long rebound through the hands of Iggy. Two Houseman, so Harvard gets it back.
Why would Harvard go small? With Penn's front court being as thin as it is, of course, they go small, and then Houseman jumps in there and gets an offensive rebound. Forced to call timeout in the corner as he picks up his dribble.
6 minutes to go in the first half as Harvard and Drew Houseman take a timeout. 25-19 is the score. And we talked about Vince how Tommy Amaker is new over at Harvard. And Frank Sullivan, he had a tough situation up there. He was there for 16 years. He set a program record with 148 wins, and they decided not to renew his contract. And he also had 245 losses. Only four winning seasons, an all-around great guy.
Frank's the guy that everybody in the league liked, everybody in the league respected, everybody in the league thought that he was a gentleman and carried himself in the right way. Now, some of the rumblings that I've heard is Tommy Amaker is getting a little more financial commitment. He's got a little better ability to get guys in. It's a shame they didn't make a commitment like that to a guy like Frank Sullivan. And I don't know that's a fact. I've heard that rumbling from various people around the league.
Well, Vin-Man, you are a television star, so I would take it from you. Here comes the wind. Bolts to the rack. He tried to reverse it. No good. It's kicked off by Iggy, and he gives Harris a little shove as the Quakers come back the other way.
You don't think it's going to be your point guard that she kind of steps up and says, hey, you know, we're going to step this a little bit, but Kevin Iggy definitely does get Harris right there.
Randy can't hit. He was wide open on the baseline. Miller rumbles inside over his shoulder deposits to Duke. In stride, that makes it 25-21 with 5:25 to go in the first.
Open look for Brian Grandieri there on the baseline, one that he normally knocks down. Unfortunately, he's not able to do that, and Harvard gets the run out.
Grandieri far side right, pounds it into the paint with the left hand looking for contact, and it's Harris who rips it away from Eggleston. So Grandieri struggling a little bit from the field, and there's carry for the triple, can't connect, and Brian Grandieri with the board. As we go back and forth, the red and blue from right to left with the
board. It's like a hockey game. We have the beat talk going here, Chelsea.
Near left point, Tyler Bernardini, top of the key. Eggleston thought three, and there's a foul away from the play. It is Miller who shoves Connor Trolley to the deck.
Harvard guys are supposed to be smart, right? To get into Harvard, they're supposed to be relatively smart.
You would assume.
That might have been the dumbest play I have ever seen by Doug Miller. I mean, why?
It doesn't make any sense.
What are you thinking? Why give somebody a shot out and run through a stream like that when you know the game's being called tight, when you know that everything is going to be under a microscope? If you're going to give somebody something, do it in traffic. Just rip one in on somebody, you know? Don't do it out there for all the world to see.
Connor Turley's front end falls as Connor is on the board as he gives the Quakers a 26-21 advantage. 4:51 to go. Michael Katz checking in for Brian Grandieri as Turley gets ready for number two. It is on the way from the righty, and he knocks it down. So it's 27-21, and there's 4 minutes and 50 seconds to go in the first half. Carey pinned on the far left sideline, picked up by Eggleston, switches over to Katz. Katz doing some good coverage, now goes to Houseman, the near right point. Houseman, top of the key, wins, but three foul line, whistle stops play, and that one is going against Kevin Iggy. For Iggy, that is his second. And so two shots coming for the Crimson. And Vin Man, it is the annual sorority tug of war battle tonight at the half.
I was wondering if that was what the story was.
Oh, yes, it is.
Various and sundry t-shirts out there. It is a highlight of the home season, Delta, the home Ivy season.
As Wynn gets ready, it is on the way with his first foul shot, and it falls through. And I should take this time as Wynn gets his first point.
Now, I believe it. You were much more excited about this event when you were in student. Now that you're a graduate, it's kind of easy for you.
You know what? I'll tell you why. I do actually have a little bit more excitement. As Wynn can't connect, it remains 27-22, playing with the ball. The sister of yours truly is the Rush champ for Sigma Kappa, so she's leading a squad
Molly
out here.
Molly
Self has a squad tonight in the tug of war. Katz, left side of the key, backs in, and a blocking foul is called against Harvard.
Wow. Lop City by Jeremy Lin. One of the things that I say so often, Chelsea, is guys will fall before the contact when trying to draw a charge. They're afraid to get hit. Well, Jeremy Lin flopped right there. You got to get hit, then fall. You get the call.
Ninth team foul against Harvard. 1-1 coming up for the Southpaw senior, Michael Katz. He drills it.
So are your parents here supporting Molly Self tonight, or did they blow this one off?
She is not actually, she's not going to be, you know, doing the whole thing. She just kind of put the team together as Katz gets ready for number two. Takes it on the board, and the Quakers are ahead 29-22 with 4:20 to go in the first. This first half, nearly 45 minutes long with that stoppage in play. Loose ball on the floor, picked up by the Quakers as Carey miscommunicated with Harris. Penn looking for some points. Higgy far side right, and he lost the ball off his foot.
Just about to say what a good first half Kevin Higgy's had.
And he kicks one off his foot. Another.
I was trying to make an aggressive play. I think he got a little caught up. I thought what was there is pounding that into the corner and then push back to Tyler Bernardini. They seemed to have a little opportunity there in transition.
And Aaron Cohen is going to come into the contest for Kevin Higgy.
And I like that only because Kevin has, not only, but for one reason, Kevin has picked up two fouls, has played well. You can't have him pick up a third, as Harrison Gaines also has two. So Aaron Cohen's going to get 4 minutes here to do his thing a little bit.
One thing you can say about what Penn did in the non-conference is because of Harrison Gaines' injury, they developed some depth at the point. Harris with the rock team booed with Bill Mercy. The wind slides it on the lay-in. Underneath Unger is fouled as he goes up.
So Jack Eggleston rotating over to block that shot. What happens is when he rotates off Unger, Unger doesn't get checked by anybody else. He's able to get the rebound in the attempt at the stick back.
Jack Eggleston picks up his second personal foul. 3:51 remaining in the first half. Timeout on the floor. The score is 10-29, Harvard 22. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Come basketball fans. Nobody does silly sports better than Comcast Sports Bet. Tune in to Sports Bet every night at 6:30 and 10. And catch the latest highlights, news, scores, and updates on all your favorite teams. Even after the games go off, the game goes on. Comcast Sports Bet. Nobody does silly sports better.
Penn fans, if it's enhanced coverage of the Quakers you crave, then sign up for the Red and Blue resource that provides it, the Penn Sports Network. Exclusive access to live and on-demand video and audio webcasts of football, men's and women's basketball, wrestling, volleyball, and more, all available on PennAthletics.com. There's also the Penn Men's Basketball Weekly Podcast, taking you inside the program with insight from head coach Glenn Miller every episode. Select the package that suits your Penn passion best. Register online at PennAthletics.com. It is pumping in the cluster tonight. With DJ Jesse Deming, back at the controls at our Sports Radio 950 studios. 351 seconds left in the first half. And the Penn Quakers are on top by 7 points, 29-22. Is the man, Harvard not doing so well from the field.
Harvard 7-23, so the point I was making earlier of they need to turn this into a less skilled game. They need to turn it into a street fight. Bears are bared up. It bears itself out. I'm sorry, help me out there. So, with that 7-23 number, they have not shown a real ability to have anything fluid going offensively.
Remember, the last game again was on January the 11th. That loss to Dartmouth. Brad Unger at the line, and he hits on his first. Brad Unger now has 5 points, but in that loss to Dartmouth, a season low 56 points, a season low 18 field goals, and a season worst 34% from the field as Unger tallies on his second. That makes it 29-24 with 3:47 to go in the first.
Unger from nearby Boyertown, Pennsylvania, having a pretty good night in his return to his hometown.
Justin Riley back out on the floor after he was punched in the head. That's good to see. Wearing number 30, though, because his regular number, which is 41, taken, banged up catch. Hits from the outside, near left wing, buries it from beyond, 32-24.
Houseman late rotating over, and Mike Cash catches it, and does a good ball that time of moving the ball back and forth.
McGeary to Unger, set off far left baseline. We're in top of the key, McGeary to Houseman in the near right corner. Quakers flying around on deep to win. Foul line, hands off Unger, dribble on the left side, lost the ball. And they're going to call a foul.
I thought that they're probably the correct foul call. Looks like Justin Riley reaches in there and fouls Brad Unger. And that's his third foul. But I thought Penn's defense there was pretty good. Rotating out. Two guys attack Houseman. Rotating back. Aaron Cohen helping out to cover. I think it was Jeremy Lin.
Unger.
Lin. It might have been McGeary. He comes to McGeary because then the ball swings over to Jeremy Lin. Justin Riley picks him up. So Penn, very good team defense right there. Unfortunately, Harvard kept the pacing, kept rotating it, and Penn eventually couldn't catch up, and Unger gets the opportunity.
Unger got his first, now looking for his second. It bounces off the back of the iron, and Mike Katz helps up to haul it in. 32-25, 3:04 to go in this first half. He played at a very physical, combative pace between these two conference clubs. From the right side of the lane, Turley, bullet pass to Eggleston, left block, and it rolls off the shin of Eggleston. He was trying to have that effect off of Unger.
Jack Eggleston makes a great catch right there of a pass from Connor Turley, but not a whole lot he could do with it. He's too far underneath the basket. I say Connor Turley put him in a spot where he wasn't really able to succeed.
Dan McGeary stops, top of the arc, looking for the cutter, no one there. Unger, far side left of three, and it's barely nicking the rim. The Quakers have 4-on-2. Bernardini left side cuts through the key with the right hand. It falls. And a timeout is taken by Tommy Amaker as the Quakers go back up by 9. 2:31 to go in the first, 34-25.
Connor Turley doing a very good job on the other end of mixing it up with Evan Harris. Beating him up a little bit, using the lower body. And that time, Penn's able to get out and run. Harvard got no shot blocker in the play. Nobody's going to defend the interior. And Tyler Bernardini able to take it all the way to the rim.
Tyler Bernardini, a very impressive 13 points in this first half. He had 16 against Temple last Wednesday, and all of them came in the second half. He shot 0-for-3 in the first. And when speaking with your former mentor, Fran Dunphy, before the game in that contest, he said from the, first of all, he said, looking on film, he said, the results that you've seen does not really reflect where this Penn team is at. He had a lot of positive to say about the Quakers, but also the fact that Tyler Bernardini is a great player for this Penn team.
As I said in the open, he is a scorer that is paralleled by nobody in the Ivy League. He is able to get his shot, able to do a lot of things, and having a very good night so far tonight.
Kasman had his pocket picked by Cohen. Cohen dives, can't come up with it. Underneath there's Unger, who deposits an easy two off the bump.
Alston drilled Aaron Cohen in the eye with an elbow. Cohen not happy about it. Those two got into it a little bit last year up at Harvard, as you mentioned. Let's see if there's any residual from that.
Pass to Turley, right block, twists under, too strong, follows his miss, lost the ball, still has it, feeds it out top of the arc, and they call foul on Brad Unger before Turley could push it away. And Turley is frustrated that he couldn't get the field goal.
He's had two layups that he's not been able to convert. Does a nice job of getting that rebound right there and keeping the play alive. I think he got bailed out a little bit on the foul call, but Penn was going to maintain possession.
Connor Turley back to the stripe where he has collected 2 points so far. Brad Unger is going to be relieved shortly by Doug Miller because Unger has 3 personal fouls on him. Again, 2 shots coming for Connor Turley. Can't connect on his first, a little bit too strong there.
Big 5 Hall of Famer and Associated Press writer Jack Shore asked me, passing notes on the table. Last Penn player ejected. And on his note, he has probably you.
You what?
Do I
Jack's
have that kind of area?
Jack's just missed
you. Seen a lot of games, huh?
Turley hits his second to make it 35-27, a minute 50 left in this first half. Jack was actually profiled for an upcoming piece on your broadcast partner, Good Man, CSTV, in the coming month.
Yes, indeed, Kelsey.
Hausman stops, kick out McGeary, right point, sidestep to his right, too strong, no good catch, another rebound for the Quakers senior, and Glenn Miller takes the timeout with a minute 34 to go in the first, and this Quakers ahead, 35-27.
I like this timeout by Glenn Miller, the use it or lose it timeout. Good to bring the troops in and kind of collect them a little bit. Now, Grace Pam Lewis in at the end of the first half with 2 fouls. Needs to make sure that Cam doesn't pick up that third, especially with this thin front court. But I think right now you're at a point where you get a good kick to finish this half. You can really take a lot of the wind out of Harvard's sail. Harvard tried to punk you a little bit, tried to turn it into a screen play. If they do that and you back down and they end up sticking around, that's one thing. If they do that and you end up blowing their doors off, well, that's an entirely different story.
Coming up on the United Healthcare Halftime Report, my sit-down with Kevin Iggy will go around the 8-8 on the Abner's out-of-town scoreboard. There's some audio highlights as well. And also, for you listeners out there, Vin Man and I, you've got us until 10 o'clock, the extended version, as we'll take some calls after the game. Catch, far side right, pump face for 3, goes baseline, the left-hand leader, no. Cam Lewis tries to tap it in, no good. And it's Lynn with the board as Cam hits the court, but he gets back up. Kasman at the far left point, and he goes back to Lynn in that same spot. Harris to McGeary on the near right wing. McGeary to the foul line, inching his way into the paint. Cuts inside for a couple. 35-29, 60 seconds to go.
Like Aaron Cohen got caught behind McGeary. Somebody needs to step up and help stop the penetration of the ball. McGeary gets all the way to the basket.
Lakers with the ball. There is a 25-second differential between the game and shot clock.
Why don't more coaches go 2-for-1 right here? It's a guaranteed in the NBA.
Lewis, the finger roll won't fall. He fouls it up. It's knocked out of bounds by Evan Harris. So the Quakers will get it with 34 on the shot clock and 40 to play in the first.
I know math's not your thing, but it doesn't seem like more coaches should go for 2-for-1 in a situation like that. That's 50, 55 seconds left.
Aaron Cohen on the far right baseline, lob into Bernardini. Waits, he's blocked by Lynn. No call. Harvard comes back the other way. There's a 1 second difference between the game and shot clock. Hausman hounded by Cohen. That's a near right point. 35-29, 10 leading by 6. Looking for a defensive stand as the first stanza winds down. Hausman, top of the arc, shoves off Bernardini over to McGeary. 15 to shoot for Harvard. The Hausman is just way out on the far wing.
Big stop maybe needed here by Penn. You don't want to give Harvard any chance to get some momentum going in the locker room.
Harvard calling out go. Hausman, runner in the lane. The scoop is good with 3 seconds left. As the clock continues to wind down, as the Quakers just let the horn sound, and they'll go into the locker room with a 4-point 35-31 lead over the Harvard Crimson.
Parting of the white sea right there. Drew Hausman stands out as soon as he gets past as an instrument. I think it's Tyler Bernardini that was matched to him. No Penn player steps up, forces him to stop, forces him to change direction.
So 20 minutes in the books, and the Penn Quakers ahead 35-31 over the Harvard Crimson in their first Ivy League matchup of the season. And then, man, it's difficult to say which club really has momentum. I guess obviously say Penn because they're on top, but it's been back and forth. Each squad has had their moments.
I was going to disagree with you. Well, I was going to say Harvard has the momentum. Harvard, Evan Harris turns it into a street fight, number one. Penn really doesn't step up and check him until Connor Turley gets into the mix a little bit. Penn seizes momentum, but I think Harvard going in at the half, making that bucket at the end. If I'm Tommy Amaker, I'm saying, all right, this game is being played our way. We got the momentum shot going into the end of the half. I would be building on that. If you're Glenn Miller, you're saying, all right, you survived that, and they tried to get you out of your game, but you still hung in there. But if you're going to ask me one way or the other who's got the momentum, I'd say Harvard's got a little bit of the momentum right now.
Harvard, though, behind against the Penn Quakers. 35-31 is the score through one half of play here at the Palestra. The United Healthcare Halftime Report begins on the other side. My interview with Kevin Inge, but first we'll update you on the Abner's out-of-town scoreboard. When you're on Sports Radio 950, this is the Penn Sports Network. Penn fans, the Quakers return to action at the Palestra tomorrow. They wrap up their first Ivy League weekend in a conference clash against Dartmouth. Tip is set for 7 o'clock. The Big Green boasts the Ancient Eight's leading scorer and rebounder, so come out and root on the red and blue in this critical showdown. It's Take a Kid to the Game Day. That means you receive a free youth ticket with the purchase of an adult ticket. To order, call the Penn Athletic Ticket Office at 215-898-6151. That's 215-898-6151. Or log on to PennAthletics.com.
It's the Quaker Halftime Report presented by United Healthcare. With audio highlights from the first 20 minutes, feature interviews, and a full stat recap, once again with Vince Curran, here's Brian Seltzer.
It is the Ivy League opener for the Penn Quakers, and they lead the visiting Harvard Crimson. 35-31 is the score. The Penn Quakers end of the night at 5-12 overall. The Harvard Crimson are 6-12. And this is the first evening, Vin Man, in which all Ivy League programs are playing. And it's exciting. This time of year, always cool, because you get to see how the conference shapes up. And the Penn Quakers, they were picked third in the Ivy League preseason poll the first
Somebody
time.
Picked them first, right?
You know what they did.
There was one voter that picked them first, I believe.
Who might that be, Seth? Well, Vin Man, I don't know. A conspicuous one.
Does that voter happen to be wearing a University of Pennsylvania ring and be sitting to my right?
I don't know that guy. So we'll check in on the Abner's out-of-town scoreboard right now, and all the other games in action except for one are at the half as the annual sorority tug-of-war contest is taking place in front of us up in New Haven, Connecticut. Columbia comes into the game 7-10, 0-2 in the Ivy League. as it's Joe putting it to his brother James, 35-29. The Bulldogs 7-9 overall, 1-1.
Can you believe that? I mean, Columbia, a team that looks like they've absolutely quit, especially in that game in Morningside Heights against Cornell last week. Unbelievable. And now they're going Yale, who many people thought was one of the favorites and has not played as well as they have needed to, getting beat by Columbia in the first half. Boggles the mind, Chelsea.
Indeed it does, but it's 35-29, Columbia on top of Yale.
What's
20 yards through.
What's the right? Because he's pulling on the rope.
Chi Omega. But an important victory for Sigma Kappa.
Is that Molly Chelsea's
Indeed. So they are basically
second round. Second round, huh? Outstanding. What's going on around the rest of the league?
Well, good man in Providence, Rhode Island, the Brown Bears, and Cornell Big Red. Cornell on top of the conference at 2-0. The only unblemished club, the Brown Bears, and are at 1-1. Tied up at 33 apiece.
Cornell, the only one of the favorites that has really held serve. I mean, the team under Yale and Brown split, so Cornell goes 2-0 against Columbia, gives themselves the early lead. That is all for naught if Brown is able to knock them off tonight up at the pit.
And over at the just plain old trip to the gym, Gadwin, it is the Tigers 19 and Dartmouth 12, and that's about 12 minutes to the first half. So
I mean, I hate to say this, but they're saying how bad Princeton is. It's kind of getting old for me.
Yeah.
Come on.
3-12 overall.
Put it together, my man.
How about this? Coming into conference competition, Penn and Princeton combined for a record of 8-24.
Boggles the mind, Chelsea.
Yeah.
And by the way, you said we have to stick around until 10, right?
Yeah.
Is that the... So our friend at Sports Radio 950 didn't want to bring somebody in, so they said, okay, well, we got the two best guys available. We go. At what point do we go from representing the University of Pennsylvania to being Sports Radio 950 talk show host?
Once the Red and Blue Rewind Comcast SportsNet postgame shows come through.
And then after that, anything I get in trouble for saying is on 950.
That is on 950.
All right, great.
Yeah.
I love it.
So once again, one final update on the Avengers, Avatar scoreboard. Columbia leading Yale at the half. And Cornell and Brown are tied up at intermission. That one in Providence. And Princeton out to an early edge on top of Dartmouth. And right here at the park, it's 10:35, Harvard's 31, as we are at intermission. On the other side, I speak with Quaker starting point guard, Kevin Akin, who has found his way back into the rotation after a slow start. He goes pretty much in depth about why he got off on the wrong foot in 2007-2008. So stick around. The United Healthcare Halftime Report continues right here on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network.
We're all concerned about the cost of healthcare. And there's a company that's made a serious commitment to doing something about it. That's United Healthcare. And they provide plans designed to offer more for your money. United Healthcare makes it easy to get the care you need, when and where you need it. The plans provide access to more than 520,000 healthcare professionals nationally, including more than 21,000 in Pennsylvania alone. The consumer-driven health plans, CDHPS, cost less money up front, but they don't give you less. These plans come with online tools and wellness programs that can help you get and stay healthy and save on your coverage. And as a United Healthcare member, you receive discounts not offered by traditional insurance, like on LASIK eye surgery, health club memberships, and more. United Healthcare, healing healthcare together. Find out more at unitedhealthcare.com. United Healthcare Services Incorporated. Insurance coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliates.
35-31, the Penn Quakers leading the Harvard Crimson here at halftime at the Quester alongside Vince Curran, Brian Seltzer, and in the starting lineup now for the Quakers. For the third consecutive game, the fourth consecutive game, and four times as the last five, is Kevin Agee, the local product out of Ridley High School. He is starting to get into somewhat of a rhythm here as the season winds on. Earlier this week, I sat down with the Quaker junior guard.
You're enjoying your most active stretch of the season. You started the last two contests for the Quakers and three out of the last four. What do you think the coaching staff has seen in you to get you back into the rotation?
I think in practice, I've been playing a lot better. I've been playing more confident ever since the St. Joe's game. They told me that I haven't been playing with myself this year, and I totally agreed with them. And I watched some tape and saw how I played last year, and I tried to mirror that same confidence that I had last year, you know, try to get this, you know, a little swagger about me. So I think I've been playing well in practice, playing hard, and I just try to come out every day and keep the intensity up.
In what ways was the swagger not showing? Were you able to pinpoint it when you went back and looked at the footage?
Yeah, it was everything from, just little, my body language on the court to my shot to, not using my my dribble drive, as aggressively as I want to. So it was, my whole game was just, I haven't been playing with that confidence, and I think I got it back now, so.
You put much thought into why the season began that way?
You know what? I don't know. I don't have a particular reason. I can't sit up here and the only person I can blame is myself, so. I guess it just wasn't putting in the extra work, so I didn't have that, I didn't have that same confidence about my game as I used to. But now I've been putting in a little extra work here and there, and I feel pretty good about myself.
Speaking of Quaker junior guard Kevin Iggy, for you and for all the other guys on this team in terms of Harrison Gaines, Aaron Cohen, it's been a few minutes at the point guard spot. It's been a good competition there. How has that made you better?
Yeah, in practice it's great because you get to go against these guys who are great point guards, and it only helps, competition. Makes everyone better. And so at the point guard spot, we go hard at each other every day. And, that's how we're all, everyone's improving.
Not only have you been called upon to lead the Quakers on the court in terms of operating the offense, but also the Red and Blues representative on the Student Athlete Advisory Committee. How did that opportunity arise for you?
To be honest, the coaches actually made me do it. Well, Coach Sparks just said, you know what, you're going to be on the Student Athlete Advisory Committee. So I was like, hey, I'll give it a try. Yeah, it's something. It's something that I help facilitate the communication between the people up top and the students. So we help. We vote on NCAA legislation throughout the year, and I think it's been a good thing for me.
What have you taken away from the experience?
I think that, a lot of my teammates come to me and we talk about things amongst the team, and I relay that to the committee. And, I think it's good to get that out in the open, in an open forum, to have athletes from the university vote on things. And also, we vote on legislation for prospective student athletes. And I think that it takes an athlete's point of view to really, capture their desires and to pass legislation according to their desires.
Talking to Kevin Iggy, junior point guard for the Penn Quakers. Now, Kev, Ivy League competition starts tonight against the Harvard Crimson, then you have Dartmouth tomorrow. And it seems like a lot of people outside the program really aren't giving the Red and Blue much of a chance, given the nucleus that you guys lost after last season. How is that playing inside the locker room?
We know, the teammates and coaches, we all know that the only people we have on our side is ourselves. And so we take pride in that. We say, there's always going to be people doubting us. There's always going to be criticism. But we got to take that as fuel in order to go out every night and play hard. I like being the underdog. I've been the underdog my whole life. And we have to have that underdog approach to every game.
And there's Quaker junior guard Kevin Iggy speaking about his season so far and how it has experienced a nice and encouraging turnaround the past couple games. In this game at the Palestra, the Penn Quakers leading the Harvard Crimson 35-31. The Ancient Eight debut for the Red and Blue. And on the other side, Vince Turn and I discuss the first half stats. We'll also hear some audio highlights. The turning point in this game, absolutely. You'll hear about it next if you're joining us late. This is the United Healthcare Halftime Report here on Sports Radio 950, the Penn Sports Network. Penn fans come out to campus this week to show your Red and Blue pride and catch the Quakers in action. Tomorrow, women's squash and Stanford square off at the Ringe Courts at 1 o'clock, while wrestling hosts a triple header. Gloucester County, Maryland, and North Carolina, all at the Palestra starting at 10 a.m. Later that night, men's basketball at home against Dartmouth at 7 o'clock, and Princeton pays men's squash a visit. That match also at 7. For today's scores, streaming webcasts, live stats, and game recaps, your complete Quaker coverage, visit PennAthletics.com. make it our way through the end of the halftime at the Palestra alongside Vince Curran, Brian Seltzer, 35-31, 10 on top of Harvard. And here are some of the sounds that went into a very entertaining but long first half. It went about 55 minutes, and you'll hear why in just a second. The Quakers fell behind early, 2-0. Harvard put up the first point of this game, but the Red and Blue, they mounted a little bit of a surge early on to turn out some of the momentum and get it going. There's the cutting. Bernardini goes up for the jam to give the Quakes a 6-4 edge. 17:30 to go in the first.
Dribble at back door. Kevin Iggy dribbles to Tyler Bernardini on the overplay. Bernardini goes back door wide open. No help defense for the Harvard Crimson.
And Vin Mann, we saw that being an energy play for the Penn Quakers. And then following that, we also saw another jam in this contest, and that came courtesy of the Quakers.
Yeah, Ferguson,
and that one as well. So he was getting involved as the Quakers got out to an early 6-3 lead. Penn would preserve the lead and work its way through the middle portion of the half when there came the turning point of this game to date. It was a very interesting development. Harris. Double team denied, and the ball deflects to Grandieri, and bodies hit the floor as Justin Riley is up on his feet, and Jack Eggleston pushes Andreas Schreiber back to the bench because Schreiber's out
because he came off the bench, and Jack Eggleston does a nice job. I'm going to put that one on Evan Harris as he started. It looks like Justin Riley bumped his head as he went down.
Well, Vin Mann, you were right on. It was on Evan Harris. Evan Harris got an intentional foul. Justin Riley was flagged with a personal foul, but Justin Riley went to the locker room for a little bit. He lacerated his forehead. He did return the first half. But here's the big story in that, is that Andreas Schreiber was tossed from the game for coming off the bench, as was Brendan Votella, reserve, who also came off his feet as well. And that was an important point in the first half. The Quakers managed to work their way through the rest of the opening stanza, and now as we get back to action here for the start of the second stanza, the Quakers have a 35-31 edge. Vince Curran, when we have our first stoppage, we'll recap the stats from that first half. Harvard has the ball moving from right to left. It's T.J. Carey, top of the arc to Brad Unger, the three personal fouls.
Both teams struggling from the floor to end the half. Harvard 5 for their last 19 and 4 for their last 16. Right about the time that the game got ugly.
Unger blocked by Eggleston. Flex out of bounds off of Pustar, so that puts the ball in the hands of Penn.
Right, so I go to the Temple St. Joe game last week. Who do I sit down next to? Who's my seat? Jack Eggleston. Huh. So here it is. Hey, Jack, who do you think's going to win? St. Joe. Okay, I'll take Temple. Temple wins, Jack. You got to make sure Celtics bags can carry the rest of the St. Joe's wins. I'm going to give you a 30-second love fest on the air. That was his request.
Bernardini can't hit the three. Unger, easy in for two. That makes it 35-33 as this one is tightened up.
So Jack Eggleston has one coming on me.
Brad Unger leading the way for the Harvard Crimson with 11 points. Grandieri, far sideline left. He was contained for 4 points. A cutting Iggy. Great execution. Throws it over the shoulder and into the bucket. 37-33.
High back screen by Jack Eggleston there. Kevin Iggy just loops around. Takes it all the way to the basket. A nice look by Brian Grandieri.
Unger trying for the triple. Can't get it. Cam Lewis crashes the boards and then is fouled by Evan Harris.
Evan Harris. Probably the least egregious of his transgressions tonight. Just, I think, gets Cam Lewis a little low, and they call the foul.
And believe it or not, Vin Mann, you said it was his least egregious, but it is also his
second.
His
second?
Yeah, just his second. So the Quakers bring the ball back in the other direction. Tyler Bernardini paced them in the first half with 13 points, 4 of 5 from the field. Bernardini nearly robbed on the far left sideline by Pustar. Eggleston top of the arc. Iggy at the near right point. Grandieri top of the key. Waiting for the open man. Eggleston left side. Turn around to the hook shot. Can't hit. Unger with the rebound. Harvard coming back the other way. Jeremy Lin with the ball averages 13 points a game. He had just one foul shot go down in the first half.
They hasn't done a whole lot in this game so far, so Tommy Amaker probably relatively encouraged by that.
Unger to his right, too strong, rebound nicely done by Brian Grandieri.
And you can see Penn looking to get it and go, trying to get some easy shots in transition.
It's no good. Cam follows, it doesn't fall, and the rebound underneath by Harris. Carey comes back the other way in the key to Unger, blocked by Lewis, but they're going to flag Cam for his third personal foul.
Good job of Unger getting up the floor, putting the pressure on Cam Lewis. And getting positioned, Cam got caught high side and comes over the top with the foul.
The Quakers as a team committed 13 personal fouls in the opening half. 37-33, 18:03 to go in regulation. Brad Unger at the line. He has 11 points, and right there he makes it an even dozen. That ties a season high for Unger that he set on the 8th of January against Colgate as Cam Lewis comes out and Connor Turley checks in.
So there is one of Unger's productivity. I think it's probably part and parcel to the fact that then a little thin in the front court given the two ejections.
Unger misses badly there, hitting it off the front of the rim. Rebound of the red and blue, 37-34, 10-3. Kevin Harris steals it away from Turley. All the way, rocks the rim for the jam. He adds a little energy to that, and it's 37-36.
See, now that might be an opportunity like that where you take a foul. Take a hard legal foul. You're out there. Harris is out running. You might want to send a little message in. Not a cheap shot, just a hard legal foul.
Brian Grandieri trapped far side left. Turley, top of the arc, pump fake stride, the finger roll, and he's flagged for the offensive foul. That's the second against the Quakers as a team. And it is the first against Connor Turley, who comes out for Justin Riley. Justin Riley has three personal fouls. So Harvard's going to look for its first lead since the 18:45 mark of the first half. And that was when it was ahead 2-0. So a tight, tense moment of this game. Harris at the top of the key. And a whistle away from the play. It's a kickball to interrupt the momentum of the play right there. As Kusar will inbound on the far right side. Carey, covered by Iggy, has nowhere to go but Harris at the far right point. Harris hands off to T.J. Carey, igniting to the far right baseline. Back to Harris, top of the arc. Lynn, above the arc, middle floor. On the left side of the lane, he has Miller. To Carey, left side of the team, blocked by Bernardini. Saved by Grandieri, but he puts him in the hands of Kusar, who gives Harvard the lead.
Brian Grandieri making a freshman mistake right there. Never save the ball underneath your own basket. The roll is save it to the nearest corner. Had he done that, I think Penn retains possession.
Riley, right block, turning to his left, stuff, deflects to Iggy. Hoist first three. Count it for the Quaker Jr. to put the edge right back in Penn's hands. 40-38 with 16:39 to go.
Kevin Iggy, right place, right time, right rhythm.
Miller sneaks in, no good on the scoop attempt. Rebound, Grandieri, the red and blue running the other way. On the far left baseline, Eggleston draws the foul as he headed Hooper, and it goes against Doug Miller.
A shot attacking by Jack Eggleston, again, putting pressure on the Harvard defense with the Penn offense. Jack Eggleston just beats everybody down the floor and then gets the ball and attack.
Off the inbounds, Grandieri pump fakes. Top of the arc, Riley. A 1-2. Can't throw it. Eggleston taps it in for the deuce on the left block. Awareness from the Penn freshman puts Penn up by 4. 42-38.
I like also the way Jack comes out of there. Elbows high but clean. Not afraid to just get mix it up a little bit. And again, attacking mode. Nice offensive stick back.
Here comes Kusar, right side of the paint. Nearly walked the high pass. Brought down by Lynn, near side left. Good crossover. Pulls up. Connects for his first field goal in the near left wing. That makes it 42-40 with 15:51 to go in the second.
Jeremy Lynn, too good a scorer. You knew eventually he was going to get one. Makes a nice move. A little shimmy with the up fake. Pound, one dribble, up and in.
Grandieri, far left sideline, bursting to the bucket. Bryan can't get it. Eggleston battling underneath. Bryan follows for it. Has it near right baseline. Bernardini, 4-3. Good! From the near right wing, 45-40, as Penn is pounding it down from the perimeter.
Created by Jack Eggleston on the tip right there. Creates the offensive rebound opportunity.
Lynn on the right block to Miller. Twisting, draws the foul. Can't finish it off. As wholesale substitution is coming in for Harvey after this timeout. The right from there, that is the fourth personal foul against Justin Riley and for the Quakers, their third as a team here in the second half. So a nice little pace going on here at the Palestra in the Ivy League opener for the Penn Quakers. 15-19 remaining in regulation. Timeout on the floor to score. It's 10:45. Harvard 40. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Everyone knows about Aquafina water, but not everyone knows about the variety of flavored water beverages. First, you have Aquafina Flavor Splash, which is like football. Big bunch of tough guys tackling each other.
Actually, nothing like that. Pretty much the exact opposite of that. Flavor Splash has a refreshing fruit flavor, not bigger cup, but they both begin with the letter F, so there you go. Next is Aquafina Sparkling, which is like soccer. Two teams are running down the field, both chasing after one little round ball. And Aquafina Sparkling is carbonated, so it has bubbles, and bubbles are round just like soccer balls. And last, there's the low-calorie Aquafina Alive, which is like baseball. Oh, the excitement of watching a home run. Gotta be in pretty good shape to hit a homer. Sometimes it takes a little something extra, a boost. That comes in a bottle like Aquafina Alive, the drink that has essential vitamins to make you feel good. Aquafina, make your body happy.
Oh, yeah, Pepsi. As the bin man is feeling it, the Quakers feeling it from the outside with 15-19 to go in the second half. 45-40 is the score. And
I'm bringing Pepsi back to the Philadelphia Celtics.
That's all I'm saying. A lot of intensity displayed by some Penn Quakers who haven't been in this type of situation before.
Yeah, we're talking about Jack Eggleston a little bit. A couple of these gets the kick back, gets the tip, creates the opportunity. And just to finish my story from earlier, Jack Eggleston gets the ticket to the Temple State Zone game from Martavis Key, his high school teammate. So I end up sitting there next to him, and we go through the whole thing. And as a lot of people know, St. Joe's wins the game late. So Jack, I told him that we had a little friendly who wins, whoever wins.
Miller misfires on his first free throw. It remains 45-40.
Jack's a great-looking young man from Florida. I hear he's a terrific dancer, does well with the ladies. I love the way he plays. Haircut second to none.
Miller, the southpaw, second one is a perfect switch, so he has five.
That counts 30 seconds?
I think so, Vin Man.
I hear he's a good dancer. I liked his insights on basketball. I got a chance to talk hoops with him there a little bit. It's going to be tough for me to be impartial with such a wonderful guy like that being a part of this program.
I think he lives up to your promise.
Paid in full.
45-41. 10 with the ball and the lead.
And he'll probably still make sure your bags get carried on the road.
Absolutely. Eggleston to Bernardini. Far side left. Thought about the shot. 15 to shoot.
And Harvard in his zone for the first time. See how the Quakers react to that. A little too perimeter early in this possession.
In the lane. Here's Gentleman Jack on the left side. Can't hit the hook shot. Loose ball underneath. Bounces around some fingertips. Last touch by Lynn. Out of bounds. The red and blue will get a fresh 35.
Two perimeter for the first 25 seconds. And all of a sudden, the duck in by Eggleston. Nice job. I think it was Turley that found him. Unfortunately for the Quakers, Jack not able to make the hook, but they retain possession. Good recognition by Brian Grandieri.
And he had a great field pass inside to Jack Eggleston, and the Quakers managed to draw the foul against Brad Unger. No, pardon me, they called against Husar.
And my point on the recognition was Husar gets stuck on Eggleston. Brian Grandieri sees a small on a big and does a good job of getting him the ball.
Bernardini off balance, delivers the deuce, playing the angle to his advantage as Tyler Bernardini with 18 in the Quakers by 6, 47-41. Tyler Bernardini has been a ton of fun to watch this year. Lynn weaves to the bucket, too strong on the runner. The loose ball deflects the curl. Iggy, top of the key. He goes to Turley in that same spot. Grandieri on the far left wing. Lobs it to Jack. Underneath left side. Tries right. Goes over his shoulder for two more points.
Dollar F. Jack Eggleston stinking one up in traffic. A little reverse pivot. Looked like he was getting blocked, and he flips it up with the left hand.
He does his number 24 justice to make it 49-41 as the red and blue have responded.
And I just checked. Georgie Dollar is in the house.
Left side of the lane. Fitzgerald the hook shot. You can count it. For Fitzgerald, as Kyle Fitzgerald, the freshman, gets on the board. 49-43 with 13:45 left in this second half.
Fitzgerald gets the ball a little bit too low right there. I think Jack Eggleston needs to do a little better job of pushing up the lane. I think I saw Jack call for a blow right here, so he might be a little winded.
Eggleston to Grandieri at the near right point. Grandieri to Iggy, all by his lonesome, near side right on the wing. Back to Jack, top of the arc, Turley blows past Unger. To Bernardini, pass is picked off. It's deflected by Pusar to Unger, but there's some miscommunication. A broken play as Harvard doesn't get the rush. Fitzgerald left block over Turley for two. We count it.
Twice in a row, Fitzgerald getting the ball down low. And twice in a row, he finishes for the Crimson.
49-45, 13 minutes left in this second half. Tyler Bernardini to Grandieri at the near right point. Grand Deary looking for the open man. No one there. Goes to Turley, far left alley. Back to Jack in the far left corner. Higgy spots for three. Off the back of the iron. Long rebound. Tapped out by Jack. And it's a fresh 35. Turley, good Grand Deary. Through traffic. Bump. No bucket for Brian Grand Deary, but he'll go to the line.
Jack Eggleston may be tired, but he is not letting that affect his play. Another big rebound, big tip back. It will create another possession. How about that confidence by a freshman?
Look around the bench. Yeah, I need a blow.
There's no way.
I was saying, as a freshman, are you kidding me?
I'm scared to death I wasn't going to get back in the game.
And here goes Jack to the bench. Cam Lewis comes back in. Kevin Iggy goes out. And Harrison Gaines and Michael Cash will give Tyler Bernardini a breather as Evan Harris, by the booze cascading down, is back on the floor again. He's the reason he was involved in a skirmish that got Schreiber and Votel ejected as Grand Deary. Checks on his sixth point and gives the Quakers a lead by just that much. 51-45. Not only is he asking for a little relief, but he's doing so and pin is down two big men.
I guess he knows he's getting back in.
McGrady scoop shot and it falls in after he hits it off the top of the glass. He has 8 points.
Here's giving Tommy Amaker a nice whip. Two threes in the first half. That time I think it was Harrison Gaines got caught behind him and diving down the lane. For Penny to step up and stop that.
Cam Lewis foul line, Turley far left baseline, and a whistle against the Quakers, and the foul is committed on the offensive side by Brian Grand Deary, and that is going to be the Red Blues' fourth team foul, and for Brian's first.
Got to be honest with yourself, I didn't see it. I mean, I didn't see it. There's sometimes when I'll say it, I didn't see it the same way he saw it. I'm telling you right now, I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either. And it's only Friday night in the Ivy League, man. McGeary, top of the arc to Hasman at the near left point. Top of the key to Fitzgerald.
I'll handle the Irish things, okay?
I will leave that to you. McGeary, far sideline right in the alley, pressured on the defensive by Harrison Gaines. To Harris on the far right baseline. To Hasman on the perimeter. Hasman blows past Bryan in the lane. Fitzgerald can't get the rattle to roll home. Grand Deary gobbles up the rebound.
Pretty good job by Cam Lewis. Hasman goes past Grand Deary like he's got his feet in concrete. Cam Lewis rotates over, forces the pass up, then gets back to distract Fitzgerald on the layup attempt.
Cam in the paint looking for the kick out. No one there. And it's a 3-second violation.
I think if Cam were a size 12 instead of a size 14, probably not a 3-second violation. That's a tough call.
11:26 left in this second half. Timeout on the floor. The score, Penn leading Harvard, 51-47. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on Sports Radio 950. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Penn basketball fans, PECO isn't just committed to providing you with reliable, affordable energy. It's committed to the community. PECO supports a wide variety of arts, educational, environmental, and neighborhood programs for Quaker Hoops fans of all ages. And PECO employees volunteer thousands of hours as board members, mentors, coaches, and tutors. It's all part of PECO's commitment to customers and the community. For more information on PECO's community involvement, visit their website at www.pico.com.
Fans, be sure to visit the official online store of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Get apparel for all of Penn's 33 varsity programs and Ivy League championship gear for men's basketball, men's golf, women's lacrosse, and men's and women's tennis. There's also gifts and collectibles like commemorative replicas fans of Franklin Field and the Cholestra. Everything's delivered right to your home with the click of a button, so start shopping today at PennAthletics.com. 11 minutes now, 26 seconds remaining in the second half. The Penn Quakers have a 51-47 advantage over the Harvard Crimson. Two ejections been manned in this game. Andreas Schreiber and Brendan Votel, as they were crushed from this contest, and the Quakers are down some bodies in the front court.
Down some bodies in the front court. Got a little chippy there in the first half. And we look over as we survey the stands, you see Sam Pavlik there sitting in the far corner, so we know, Stelty, that if I get ejected, there is somebody to come and sit in my seat.
Probably
more capable of doing it than I am, but just in case I get rung up, and I know two of his, actually I know all three officials, so it is very possible that at any time I could be caught.
Harvard with the ball moving from right to left, and down by 4 points, 51-47 with 11:20 left in the second stanza. P.J. Carey, top of the arc, far right baseline, under on the pull-up, can't punch it in, rebound, catch, he snows it down. Harrison Gaines pushing tempo near side right on the wing to Kevin Iggy. Iggy with 7 points and a big three. Curley, left side of the paint on the far wing. Puts it on the floor. Twist to his left over Harris. Can't get the bounce under with the board. Here comes Carey coming back the other way. Scoreless his last two games. Scoreless in this one. McGeary thought about three to near left point. Top of the arc. Now he goes back to Carey in the middle of the floor on the perimeter. Carey to Harris. Straddles the arc near side left.
Pick a fence. Can just ran the picket first from losers. Don't get caught watching the paint dry, Chelsea.
Cosman hands off to McGeary in the near left corner. 8 to shoot on the shot clock for the Crimson. Top of the key. Here comes Carey. Pump fake. Pin there on the baseline by Iggy. Lobs it out to McGeary. 0 on the shot clock. And it did not go down. A violation.
What
is committed by the Crimson?
Atrocious. Is it McGeary that gets it to the baseline and throws it back out?
Okay, my man.
I mean, if you're 4 feet away from the basket, there's 2 seconds on the shot clock. Get that one in the air.
As Connor Curley comes out, Jack Eggleston jumps back in, and T.J. Carey goes to the bench, and leading him is Andrew Cousar, who has 4 points on the night. 10 with the ball and the lead of 51-47 with 10 and a quarter to go in this contest. Kevin Iggy, far left point. Top of the arc, Eggleston rolls at the can, three, and he blocks it up here. 53-47.
Great post speed by Jack Eggleston. Good steal by Cam Lewis. McKesson, the finish. Unger can't do anything with Cam Lewis in terms of athleticism. So when Cam gets it that deep, it should be a deuce.
Cam with the fourth spot. Left side of the lane. On the block, it is Brad Unger. They're going to take on Eggleston. Turns right. Back to the left with the right hand. And it falls through for two.
Jack needs to body him up just a little bit right there. Unger, not a real threat offensively, although he's having a pretty good game tonight with 14 points. Can't be allowed to operate that freely.
53-49, still tied in a 4-point game. Cam, right side, plugs him off, and he lays in the deuce.
And Cam's just too long and too athletic for Unger on the low block. Unger needs to body up Cam right there. If not, that's going to happen.
Cam's been stuffed on the right block by Cam Lewis. He rumbled back 94 feet, and Cam put up the palm and knocked it on out of there.
Not sure what Hasman was complaining about. I guess he thinks that Harrison Gaines might have been riding him a little bit, but Cam blocked that one pretty cleanly. And Drew Hausman's Quaker woes continue.
McGeary off the inbounds in the near left corner, cruises to the key, draws a contact, can't complete it. And that's going against Kevin Iggy for Cam. That's going to be his third personal foul, and the Red and Blue's fifth as a team. Drew has been benefiting from the new Nike uniforms for Harvard, as this is probably the longest his shorts have been in his tenure with the Harvard Crimson, other than being notoriously hounded by E.B. Jabber over the past 2 years. He's going old school with those shorts. McGeary at the line, a perfect push. McGeary on the evening with 9 points as Tyler Bernardini fills in for Kevin Iggy. Another one coming for McGeary. It's a 5-point game at 55-50 right now with 9:16 to go. Then he makes it a 4-point contest once again as Fitzgerald will relieve Brad Unger, playing with 4 personal fouls, all of which he got in the first half, man. So he's playing some disciplined hoops here in the second period.
He's also, Cam Lewis has gotten the ball twice and Unger has run away from him like he's got the plague. So there is something to that too. He's playing smart, not picking up the fouls, but good recognition by Penn attacking the guy with 4 fouls.
Ball knocked out of bounds on a dangerous interior pass from the near right point. Bernardini seeking Eggleston, knocked out of bounds by the Crimson. So 23 on the shot clock for the Quakers. Harrison inbounds in the near right corner to Cam Lewis. Cam Lewis last 4 for the Red and Blue.
And Harvard back in that 2-3 zone, so they're looking to protect a little bit after Penn has had some success inside.
Camp punk fakes, nice move, kick out, Gaines in the near right corner, Bernardini quick release, off the front of the rim, no, Hausman holds down the rebound, but Jack Eggleston nearly knocks it away, but Hausman still has it.
How does Tyler Bernardini get 10 feet open?
No.
I mean, are you kidding me? Against the zone.
Fitzgerald kick out, McGreary's long 3, and he throws it in the can. It goes right on down to make it a 1-point game, 55-54, 8:28 to go. That is a new career high now for Dan McGeary.
McGeary was more worried about selling the wolf tickets as he's screaming and yelling and doing the let's go than playing defense. Tommy Amaker was all over him.
Cam Lewis can't answer the first time, gets it back, goes up a second time, and he draws the foul. Cam Lewis heads to the stripe.
Good pass by Tyler Bernardini to hit a diving Cam Lewis. That's one that Cam needs to convert. Open layup. Not going to get many of them.
Cam Lewis logging some minutes here tonight. He averaged just 10.5 his last two games. He only had a point and 4 rebounds against Temple, and he has 3 early turnovers. Penalty caught the ball up 11 times, their second lowest total of the season against Temple. 3 belong to Lewis. Here's a pivotal foul shot on the way, short off the front of the rim. It stays at 55-54 with 8:12 left.
Good rotation
for catch.
Good rotation, good arc on that shot. Unfortunately, he shot a 15-foot free throw about 14 feet 3 inches, so need to make an adjustment.
Can he get one? Yes.
There we go.
And that one was about as good as it gets. Cam Lewis,
sure.
With 7.
Sure, like your broadcasting game, so like your bar game, like your karaoke game, Chelsea.
Dean Pussar on the perimeter, near side left, 56-54, loose ball, far side into the backcourt, and it can't be saved by McGeary. Did he call a timeout in time?
Can't call timeout there, Chelsea. You got to have your feet on the ground.
And his feet were not on the ground, so the Red Bull regained possession after this. 7:58 remaining in regulation. Timeout on the floor. The score, 10:56. Harvard 54. Quaker basketball. Their first conference game on Sports Radio 950, the Penn Sports Network.
And now let's get back to Two Chuckleheads Talk Football, presented by Diet Pepsi Max.
Next on the agenda, wear a team jersey or paint the chest. Bill, your thoughts?
Have to go team jersey. It's so obvious.
Wrong again, smart guy. Paint the chest. It takes passion and artistry to paint the chest.
You're wrong.
No, you
no,
are.
You
no,
are.
You are. Anyways, next up, the Wave. Like it or hate it.
I like the Wave.
Me too.
If it were still 1989, the Wave is about as cool as acid wash peg jeans.
The Wave is a timeless classic.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are. Okay, next up, fans are not off of the game.
Inexcusable. I say no to nodding off. Wake up, people.
I agree. Inexcusable.
Wait. We agree?
Why is it inexcusable?
Because they can just have a Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
We've got nothing to argue about here.
Well, how do you spell ginseng?
That's obvious.
G-I-N-S-I-N-G. Nice, but you spelled it wrong, Captain Gray Matter. It's E-N-G.
Sound it out. It's ginseng-ing. You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are.
Zero-calorie Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
Minutes and 58 seconds to go in the second half. 56-54 is the score. The Penn Quakers leading the Harvard Crimson. And
all sorts of stuff going on here. We got the sorority tug of war. We got the kid at half court banking in the three-pointer to win. I don't know how much did he win. 5,000 or something like that.
I believe that's the coin.
And a great rollout. They lost to Michigan. It's Appalachian State, but at least Michigan got rid of Tommy Hammaker.
Well, it's a tough break for Tommy Amaker at Michigan. He did win the 2003-2004 NIT championship in his second season after the Wolverines went 11-18.
He did beat Michigan this year, which just goes to show that he couldn't recruit players at Michigan that could beat an Ivy League team.
Yes?
Well,
yes. All right. Yeah. But at Michigan, Tommy Amaker, he did have 3 20-win seasons, and 3 times he was in the NIT, but no NCAAs. And when you're in the Big Ten, as the Red and Blue have the ball ahead by Deuce 56-54, that ain't going to cut it in Ann Arbor. Carson Gaines with the ball. Far side left, Bernardini fires to the foul line, and he throws the pass in the hands of Evan Harris, who was trying for Cam Lewis.
I think that shot was going to get blocked, and he knew it. He tried to create something. Harris, right place, right time.
Harris, top of the arc. Hausman, far right point. Harvard trying to foul. Hausman, left side of the lane. The left high post, foul line Harris. In the key, ducking under, cuts in, and he gets it to roll through as Harvard knocks it at 56 with 7:25 to go.
Another one of those moves by Harris that looks like it doesn't have a chance. And then he steps through. I'd be interested to see that on film because his footwork looks so bad that I'm surprised that it's legal.
Bernardini draws a foul as he strode inside. That one's going to go against Dan McGeary. It'll be his third and the sixth for the Harvard Crimson. Penn Quakers have a Ivy League home win streak of 21 coming into this contest. The fourth longest in program history. They are trying to sustain that tonight. They have their hands full with Harvard. Gaines, near right baseline, inbounds underneath Eggleston. He gets it to fall in traffic. And maybe there could have been some contact there as well.
I love Jack Eggleston's toughness. I love his attitude.
underneath, ball deflected into the hands of Eggleston. Red Bull back the other way. Grand Deary was en route for a pass from Gaines, but it rolled off the foot of Drew Harrison.
Gaines throws it a little too early. They have a two-on-one. If Gaines takes two more dribbles, make Hausman commit one way or the other, it's probably a layup. Instead, he throws it just a hint early. Hausman able to retreat and make the kick save.
Gaines inbounds to Bernardini. A crucial possession for the Quakers. Ahead by two. Lewis, right block. Looking to kick out. No one there. Grand Deary, top of the key. Left high post. The jumper. Line drive. He locks in. Ryan Grand Deary from 15 away makes it 60-56 with 6:40 to go.
Harbor pulling the LaSalle right there and double teaming Cam Lewis in the low block. Cam does a good job of passing it back out. And Grand Deary knocking down the 15-footer.
And a hand check going against Harrison Gaines. As Drew Houseman was driving to the hoop. The crowd coming alive at the Palestra. The red and blue two out in nine,
man.
Grand Deary with 8 points this evening as Houseman and Harvard will inbound on their left baseline. Third personal foul against Tyler Bernardini. And a long rod to win in the backcourt. For the Quakers, that is their sixth foul of the squad here in the second. Which is well for Harvard with 6:20 to go. On the far right baseline, Harris. So cutting Fitzgerald gets the bump and the bucket. Big time conversion for Fitzgerald.
Harrison Gaines trailing Fitzgerald the whole way. I think he gets caught on a switch and never catches up. Somebody else needs to step up right there and stop that possession and stop Fitzgerald from that clean run at the basket.
Kevin Eady comes in for Harrison Gaines. Fitzgerald at the strike trying to make this a 60-59 game with 6:19 to go.
Here's the good news, Kelsey. 55-minute first half. Doesn't really matter. We're here to stand anyway.
No good from Fitzgerald, but the offensive board by Harris. So Harvard can tie or take the lead. There's Houseman on the far right wing.
Those are killers right there. You get the missed front end, which is like a turnover. You got to step up and get that rebound.
Williams, top of the arc, kicks it over to Houseman. Near left baseline, rumbles, blocked initially by Grand Deary. The offensive board, Poussar, top dark Houseman, wins. The three in the lead. Good! It is 61-60 Harvard with 5:50 to go. Jeremy Lin drops it in from the outside.
You can only give him so many opportunities before Harvard is going to convert. Two offensive rebounds on that possession.
Top of the arc, it's Lewis, far side left Eggleston, and there's a whistle away from the play. The foul committed by the Harvard Crimson.
Tyler Bernardini has a way of drawing fouls, of making less flagrant contact look like a foul. On the other end, Evan Harris is posting up Cam Lewis. I think Cam Lewis has an opportunity to draw an offensive foul. Harris is all elbows and arms. And Cam, I just wasn't able to get caught up in it enough and to draw that out. You can let a guy get up under your skin. He really can't hurt you all that much. But if your arms flail a little bit, you might be able to steal one.
Tyler Bernardini's first free throw for the tie. The front end falls for Tyler Bernardini as he knocks his number 19.
I got to tell you, Sophie, pretty good open to the Ivy League season tonight. It's been an exciting game.
Absolutely, Vin Mann, as Tyler Bernardini gets ready to give the red and blue the lead. Let back. It's on the way. Off the front of the rim, it falls. Tyler Bernardini has his fifth 20-point contest of his rookie year. 62-61-10, 5.5 to go. Top row, Jeremy Lin, mishandled the ball, catch on the coverage, Lin plows inside, and it's an offensive foul against Harvard.
Jack Eggleston again. We talked about it. Remember the Monmouth game earlier in the year?
Yep.
Where Jack Eggleston doesn't get a whole lot of points, doesn't get a whole lot of points, but has four assists early in the game and gets 10 into it. Right there, he makes another play. He steps balls, he's played with attitude, he's been a force. There he steps up and draws a charge.
5:24 to go in the second half, 62-61. The Quakes clinging to a one-point edge over the Harvard Crimson in the Ivy League opener. And Vince, going back to Jack Eggleston, he had a career night against Temple on Wednesday. 15 points, shot 6-12 from the field. 6 rebounds in that game as well. Those were the most for him since that game at Monmouth that you alluded to. And for Jack, you talk about his toughness. That's one thing that shines through about his character. He also takes losses so tough. After the St. Joe's game in the locker room, he was face planted on the floor just as he should have been, extremely upset by what happened in that game, which was an embarrassment, a 40-point loss. Jack is one of the guys that gets it.
You want people playing for you that want to compete, that have pride, that have toughness, and he certainly has that. And you look at a guy like Evan Harris or Harvard, even though Quaker fans all think he's a jerk, you need a little jerk in you. You need a little bit of anger and a little fight to you. And Jack Eggleston certainly has shown that. And he's not the only Quaker that's shown that, but that is something that with him, you certainly notice it right away.
And Jack has had such an interesting road to the red and blue back when he was a junior at St. Thomas Aquinas. And Fran Dunphy was in his last season, what it would turn out to be as a head coach here at Penn. Jack Eggleston was a recruit that Dunphy was looking at. And then Dunphy got the job at Temple. And things kind of broke off, the communication between Jack and the Quakers. But give Glenn Miller and his staff credit for going back to Jack Eggleston, taking a look at him, and making sure they knew what they saw in him, here he comes in.
It's not always the highly touted guys that end up being the ones that build your program. Mark Zollert, late yet. Evie Jabber, late yet. Paul Romantic, late yet. You know, there are all guys that make it up. Jack Eggleston, a guy coming into this season, yeah, you like him, but you weren't expecting this from him, and he really has provided a nice lift for Glenn Miller and a very consistent play. Harvard now in a 1-3-1 zone. Look for them to try and trap the corners.
Penn with the ball left to right. 16-2 for the Quakers ahead, 62-61. Pass in the near right corner. Looking for a presence in the post, nothing there. Top of the arc, Eggleston. Thought about three, rolls it to Grandieri. One, his left side, and he's got it for the Deuce. 63-61, 4:50 to go.
Evan Harris runs out at Jack Eggleston. As soon as that happens, Brian Grandieri ducks in behind. No shot blocker, easy Deuce.
Brian Grandieri coming on late in this game. Housman has a hole. Foul line, hands off Poussard in the paint. Waits patiently, no good. Tapped out Grandieri. It's a flex in the near left corner. Housman under the arc, along two, fouled. He can't get the bank shot to go down. So Drew Housman draws the 18th foul against the Penn Quakers and the second against Brian Grandieri. And it'll be Housman heading to the line.
Housman hasn't done a whole lot tonight. 2 points, 3 rebounds, an assist, a couple of turnovers.
Housman reserved the last 3 games after he started 14 of his first 15 this season. His first is perfect. Housman now 3 points in this contest. And Housman overall just averaging 6 points his last 4 games. He struggled, and he started with an 0-for-7 performance in the field against UC Irvine. And before that run, he was in double figures in UC Irvine in his first 7 games and 12 of his first 14. But he can't hit that second free throw. The rebound recorded by Brian Grandieri. 64-62, 4:25 to go at the Palestra.
Hausman, an 84% free throw shooter. And his woes, 10 woes continue. No doubt about it.
Eggleston forced into the walk.
If he had been able to get rid of it after the initial walk, he probably would have been okay, but he kind of got hung out to dry there a little bit.
And Glenn Miller will have Connor Charlie relieve Jack Eggleston. Well, no, Jack is going to stay as now Michael Katz comes out as the Quakers have Iggy, Eggleston, Bernardini, Charlie, and Grandieri on the floor. Again, Brendan Votel with Big and Andreas Reiber ejected midway through the first half. Justin Riley has 4 personal fouls, 10 thin in the front court. 64-62, Quakers with the lead, Harvard has the ball from right to left with 4:06 to go. Glenn Topicki under, first three in the lead, good! 65-64 with 4 to go, he finally hit one.
17 for Unger now, his first in 4 attempts from three. But he is playing like a guy that just, yeah, he knows that Penn doesn't really have a shot blocker. He knows he's the biggest guy out there.
And there's Bernardini.
10 feet open again.
An air ball, rebound to Lynn. He pulls back the other way. He strides to the top. He can't get the wide open layup. He could have gone off to another man. Rebound to Penn.
He didn't have to go off to another man. Nobody picked him up. How does Lynn miss that layup?
The big turn right there as Penn gets it back. Grandieri all alone in the near right alley. Top of the key, Jack Eggleston. Iggy, far side, left with 18 to shoot. Rumbles, a finger roll, and it's knocked into the bucket by Evan Harris. He tried for the block, but he knocked it through.
Should have been a goaltend, I thought. But it doesn't matter. It goes in, it doesn't matter, right, Brian?
66-65, 10 on top with 3:07 to go. Right side of the line, here comes Harris. Hammers his way in. The finger roll short, rebounds through the hands of Unger. And that is a foul against Brad Unger, and he's done.
a really smart one to go out on if you're Brad Unger. I mean, that's five right there, and he's complaining about it. He's been playing very well. He'd be a little smarter than that. We got four fouls.
Pardon me, that is his fourth. I thought he had four in the first half.
There you go, Brian.
Sorry, man. I'm
like an idiot again.
Hey, no.
I
made myself look like an idiot, Brian.
Okay. Don't tell yourself short, Brian. You're a tremendous player.
Well, thank you. Good man. 3 minutes remaining in the second half. Timeout on the floor. This score, the 10 Quakers up by one, 66-65. The Harvard Quaker basketball on Sports Radio 950, the Penn Sports Network. And fans, the Quakers return to action at the Fletcher tomorrow. They wrap up their first Ivy League weekend in a conference clash against Dartmouth. Tip is set for 7 o'clock. The Big Green boasts the H&H leading scorer and rebounder, so come out and root on the red and blue in this critical showdown. It's Take a Kid to the Game Day. That means you receive a free youth ticket with the purchase of an adult ticket. To order, call the Penn Athletics Ticket Office at 215-898-6151. That's 215-898-6151. Or log on to PennAthletics.com.
So tell me, what do you love about Keto the Mexican Grill?
I love the taco salad.
It's fast, fresh.
Burritos, quesadillas, tacos.
Five sauces.
Oh, yeah. I got to the point that if I had to eat something one more time that wasn't good for me, just because I was in a hurry, I was going to go crazy. And I found Qdoba, and I'm up.
Yeah, you can get here for a month straight to get something different every day.
Everybody can make what they want, and that's a good burrito.
That's what I love.
That's what I love about Qdoba. Qdoba Mexican Grill. Hundreds of original flavors you won't find anywhere else. All made fast, fresh, and right in front of you. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
3 minutes left in a very exciting contest. The Ivy League opener for the Penn Quakers against the Harvard Crimson, 10-66, Harvard 65 out of the timeout. A nice round of applause for the red and blue as they try to get their first Ivy League win and their first try this season.
A solid effort for the Quakers so far, responding to the way that Harvard wants to play this game, in particular Evan Harris. And now Connor Turley going to have one and one.
Big opportunity right here for Turley. The front end is shot on. It rimmies out and right to Evan Harris. So with 2:55 to go, 66-65. Penn Harvard with the ball. Penn's third miss from the foul line tonight. They're 14-17.
14-17, pretty good percentage, Chelsea, but this front end, like a turnover.
Wynn has an opening, reversing, he gets fouled, and he can't cap it off. But Jeremy Wynn will go to the line. He struggled tonight. Jeremy Wynn in this game, just 6 points, as a guy that averages 13 a contest. But he has a chance right now to tie it up and give the Crimson the lead.
Nice job of attacking, though, by Jeremy Wynn. They call it a lower body business. Give them the business with the lower body, Celtics.
Wynn makes it even at 66-66 with 2:43 to go. And this one will be to put Harvard back in front. Wynn releases, and you can count it, 67-66. Harvard on top of Penn with 2:40 to go. The Quaker crowd coming alive. Jack Eggleston hands off to Grandeur. Gut check time for a green Penn team.
A little too perimeter right now. Penn needs to get something going at the basket.
Iggy, top of the arc, Turley, far side left. Eggleston wanted to roll it inside. Nothing there. Grandeur from Turley. Great look. They wave off the shot. There is a foul against Harvard as Brian Grandeur,
1-1. 1-1 for Brian Grandeur, and good recognition. Ball goes around the perimeter. Penn does what they like to do, inverts the guard. And I'm sorry, it's two shots because it's the 10th foul on Harvard. And the ball swings from the wing to the top. And Brian Grandeur, good footwork.
And he gets the bounce.
Gets the bounce to knock it down. Good footwork to get the steal. And then gets the foul. And the two free throws.
Catch coming in for Tyler Bernardini. It's about time Brian got a break. Doesn't really seem to be getting them this year. Now for the lead. Yes, it is good. 68-67. 2-2-2 showing on the scoreboard. Brian Grandberry with a dozen points. Harvard with the ball from right to left. Hunger at the far right point and top of the key. The Quaker crowd commanding some defense. Hasman hit the hole in the lane. Hands off Unger. Goes up strong. And there's an offensive foul against Unger.
See you later, Unger. Jack Eggleston stepping in and not being afraid to get punched in the chest. He just put his body out there, sacrificed himself for the good of the team, took the blow, goes down. Bye-bye, Brad Unger.
Brad Unger will finish with a career best 17 points. His previous career high was 16 that he set on February 2nd, 364 days ago against Columbia. He is the 107th Harvard captain for the club, and he was tabbed one of the most improved players in 2006-2007.
A lot on that statue there, don't you, Celso? You really
pack in the information.
Who cares about Brad Unger? This is the Quakers broadcast. Take 5 seconds about it, but move on. Talk about our team.
If Harvard loses this game tonight, Tommy Amaker is going to look down and go, 14th or 24 from the free throw line in a one-point game?
Yeah, and that's from a team that last year was first in the Ivy League in terms of foul shooting with 76%. Jim Gofredo was a big part of that.
Penn with the ball. Bernardini pitches it to Grandieri on the post. Gets the ball. The ball through. 70-67. 10 by 3 with a minute 47 to go.
That play by Glenn Miller out of that little timeout. And again, gets Brian Grandieri in the low block. Jeremy Lin not strong enough to handle him. Great recognition by the Quakers.
Housman hounded by Bernardini. He drifts far side right. First three off the iron. And a rebound by Tyler. His first of the game. Couldn't have come at a bigger time.
I said to you in our last break, how about Tyler Bernardini with no rebounds? Gets a huge one right there. And Glenn Miller calls timeout with the Quakers leading 70-67.
With a minute 24 to go. And this season could be a little bit uneasy on the nerves, but it's going to be fun for this reason. We have no idea how the Penn Quakers stack up for the rest of the Ivy League. And you're going to start to see some of that develop. And you can hear from the crowd. Last year, I don't want to say that Penn fans took it for granted, but certainly there was a clear-cut indication as what should have happened last year. Everyone knew what the stakes were. This year, people may not be totally expecting it, but it's not outside the realm of possibility.
Certainly not outside the realm of possibility. There is not a clear-cut dominant team in the league, and if Penn plays with the intensity on defense and the precision on offense, they're going to be right in the mix. And they also, I think, get a little break in the schedule because they start off with two games at home. Then they go to Columbia. They could be headed into Cornell next weekend at 3-0. So things can break. First thing they need to do, to get to 3-0, what are you going to do, Celso? You got to get the 1-0.
That's right.
So
yes.
In a minute and 24, we'll start worrying about that.
70-67 is the score on the line. Not just a league victory for the Penn Quakers, but also a 21-game Ivy League home winning streak. 11 games in a row they've taken against Harvard. They haven't won here. The Crimson haven't. And 20 tries. Check that, make that 15 for Harvard. And Penn has the ball with 28 on the shot clock. A minute 24 to go, a three-point end. Tyler Bernardini, far side left. Tyler takes it in, strong move, no, Jack follows, and delivers on the block. 72-67.
Harvard tries to trap out of the timeout right there. Tyler Bernardini flips it.
And a whistle away from the play. It's a foul against the Quakers. It appears to be against Jack Eggleston.
Jack Eggleston for Bowen Evan Harrison, the shot. Yep, they called on Jack, and I'm sure it was reactionary. Referee Tim Kelly looking like he wants to tee Jack up. So my guess is that Jack got one first, and you know, as always happens, you catch the retaliation.
Headed for the line is Evan Harris. He will hear it from a Quaker crowd for inducing a skirmish that ejected two Penn players in Schreiber and Votel. But the important part is that he's not shooting into the red and blue crew. 72-64
back there.
And he gets the roll to go on that first attempt.
Two sorority back there behind him.
Connor Turley comes out. Michael Katz back in. As Evan Harris tries to make it a three-point game, as the cheers get a little bit more directive in the direction of Evan Harris.
He's earned them.
The lefty from L.A. hits his second, 72-69. 69 seconds to go. The Quakers need more points, as much insurance as they can possibly get. Cat, near right point. Eggleston, top of the arc. Thought three, Iggy, far sideline left. Iggy, looking for a cutting Bernardini, nothing there. Cat, top of the arc. Michael, looking for the open man, 15 to shoot. Eggleston, near right point. Lob inside. Grandieri, right block. He's stuck underneath, knocked out of bounds. Last touch. Last touch by Fitzgerald, mind the shot clock. For the Quakers,
9 seconds on the shot clock, Brian. I think Glenn Miller's going to take a timeout right here.
Jack Eggleston threw that to Brian Grandier. Lobs it into the post. I think there's a little too much defense around. Jack needs to take the dribble in and be confident to go up and take that 15-footer.
Each of these teams have played their fair share of games that have come down to 5 points or fewer. Harford 1-3 in those types of situations. And one overtime loss. The Penn Quakers 2-1 in contests that come down to 5 points or more. Right now, at the Palestra, 43 1/10 of a second left. And the Penn Quakers have a 72-69 advantage. A game in which they have been decimated in the front court because of personal fouls and ejections.
Personal fouls isn't really the problem. Those guys getting rung up that has been the problem. Andreas Schreiber and Brennan Bochel tossed for leaving the bench in an early first half skirmish.
Penn has lost 5 out of their last 6 after back-to-backing victories at the end of December. For the first time, off the inbounds, Bernard Dean, near right baseline, 8 to shoot, stripped out of bounds. They say Tyler was the last to touch it.
No doubt about it. Off Tyler's foot right there. Dribbles into the double team of Harris and Hausman. Sounds like a law firm. Harris and Hausman. He could kick that one back out. There's still 4 or 5 seconds left, I think. He swing that ball, he might be able to get a better look.
4.5 second differential between the game and shot clocks, and Tommy Amaker takes one of his 2 remaining timeouts. So the clock stops with 36 3/10 of a second left. 72-69 is the score, and Vince, these types of situations, character testing games for the Penn Quakers, and the young guys on this team, they have played with a lot of fire in their belly, aggressiveness.
Overused, but one of these teams is going to learn how to win. We've said that a couple of times for games this year. For the most part, in those learn-how-to-win games, the Quakers have ended up on top. Now you're into the league season, and it's another opportunity for this team to grow up a little bit. Look for Tommy Amaker. I don't think they need to go for a 3 at this point. I think they're probably looking at trying to attack the basket, maybe with Evan Harris. He's got a little success down on the low block.
So how do you defend this possession, Vin Man, for Harvard? What are you looking at?
You ever see the movie Slapshot?
Yeah.
Just spoil him up enough to coach. Get the Hanson brothers, spoil him up. Make Harris go to the line if he gets it in on the low block.
43 seconds to play, 29 to shoot for the Crimson. They have it on the far right point. It's McGeary. Hands off to Hausman.
The bleak
player to shoot. Hausman, far right baseline.
Throws it in the middle for a strip by Grandieri. He saves it. Throws it ahead. It's pulled down by McGeary. No shot clock reset, Delphi.
13 to shoot. 16 to play. Harris to win. And there's a timeout by Tommy Amaker. His last on the floor with 14 3/10 of a second left, 72-69-10.
Complete clear out for Hausman. And it looked like Hausman was trying to dribble in, and then, as I like to say, throw back from whence he came. But Brian Grandieri stepped in, and the officials right now are wondering whether it's possession. They may reset the shot, which would give Harvard the last look.
And you can see how badly Brian Grandieri wants it, using everything in his power to try and save that possession for Penn, playing with that dinged up knee, the meniscus tear there. He's managed to work through that and trying to give it all to his Penn Quakers.
They just reset the shot clock. I wasn't listening to you. I was watching what the officials are saying. So they just reset the shot clock. Jeff Nichols going into the Penn huddle to tell Perry Bromwell. And I guess somebody else has already called the Harvard huddle. Mike Martin, not too thrilled with the call, but Harvard will have a chance at last look. They changed the strategy up a little bit. If Harvard runs it down, and there's a school of thought that says, don't let them get a 3 off. I would be of that school of thought.
The Penn band playing Living on a Prayer. The Quakes trying to get by with that motto right now. They're ahead by 3 points, 72-69, with 14 3/10 of a second left. And Brian Grandieri has brought Kevin Eagle, Jack Eggleston, Tyler Bernardini, and Mike Cashin close. He said no fouling. So the Quakers senior captain calling out the signals, and it's going to be Drew Hausman on the near left sideline to inbound.
Watch McGeary. He's been pretty effective from 3. Good switch by Eggleston.
He has 3 3-pointers. 10 seconds to go. 10 by 3. Hausman, near left corner, for the tie. Too strong. Rebound loose underneath. Last touch by Evan Harris. And the Quakers are going to get it back with 5 8/10 of a second left.
Great switch by Jack Eggleston. Glenn Miller's going to take a timeout right now to make sure the Quakers take care of the ball. Great switch by Jack Eggleston on the screen right there. As Drew Hausman comes up, Jack Eggleston all up in his face. Hausman misses by 5 feet. And Brian Grandieri boxing out Evan Harris. Quakers get the ball. Now,
No timeout for either team.
No more. Glenn Miller just turned his last one.
Glenn Miller is telling his guys in the huddle, all else fails, throw the ball into the front court. You obviously want to get it in, take the foul. You need to make one out of two to end it. All else fails, throw the ball in. You want it to land between half court and the three-point line. Give your team a chance to run it down.
The Quakers put out on the floor Iggy Katz, Bernardini, Graham, Deary, and Eggleston.
And Harvard will have everybody up. So if you get a chance and Harris comes up too far, sneaking in long might not be a bad way to go.
5 8 tenths of a second left. 72-69. Graham Deary on the inbound is fouled by Kyle Fitzpatrick after he forced Drew Hausman to the deck.
Hausman trying to draw the offensive foul right there. Again, I don't think enough contact. You needed to let Brian Graham Deary hit you and then get the foul. Now Brian Graham Deary, your senior captain, has to make one free throw, and it's over.
Graham Deary with 12 points on the even for a two-possession game. Yes, it is good. 73-69 with over and two tenths of a second left.
Start the bus.
Graham Deary for one more. Looking for the good measure conversion, and it's out, no good. Harris with the rebound, 3 seconds left. Wynn fires for three with 1 second. In and out, no good. As the horn sound, the Penn Quakers pull out a gutsy victory, 73-69, as their third Ivy League title defense gets off on the good foot.
And the team's just watching the handshake line right here. Sure nothing happens with Evan Harris. I know he was not too popular among the Penn faithful. They say football, keep your helmet on. Keep your helmet on walking through this handshake line.
In a game in which the Penn Quakers lost two front court players to ejection, and Andreas Schreiber and also Brennan Botel, Justin Riley was banged up and playing with four personals. They persevere and collect conference victory number one, stop a three-game slide, improve to 6-12 on the year. All important, 1-0 in the Ivy League.
Most important, 1-0 in the Ivy League. And a terrific effort for the Quakers, just finishing off a game in a game that really could have gone either way. You saw the will and the desire, and Brian Graham Deary being a senior leader, making a couple of big plays late. Jack Eggleston, Tyler Bernardini, both having great games. Two freshmen. So you're getting the seniors, you're getting the freshmen, you're getting the balance.
The Red and Blue 1-0 in conference competition with a 73-69 victory over the Harvard Crimson at the Palestra. Well, coming up, it's the Red and Blue Rewind Comcast Sportsnet post-game show. And then Vin Man and I will take you up until 10 o'clock. So we'll talk 10 on the post-game. We will be. We'll give you out those numbers if you want to hop in and talk to us. We've got to take care of some housekeeping business for the next, I'd say, 10 minutes or so. And then starting, let's hope for around 9:15. We'll open up the phones, Penn fans, if you're listening in Philly or around the globe via PennAthletics.com. You can chime in at 610-632-0950, #950 on the cell. A free call for all single or wireless customers. And Vin Mann, being a regular Daily News Live panelist on Comcast Sportsnet, and myself, doing some updates. We can stretch it out to other sports as well if you'd like to chime in after we get through the post-game show. So 73-69.
That's the mood, Danny. Everybody's walking around, smiling, saying hello to us.
Well, we'll get it. I think we'll talk about why that's probably the case on the other side and break down winter
all afternoon. No?
No.
Just asking.
Red and Blue Rewind, Comcast Sportsnet post-game show. Coming your way after this, it's Quaker basketball, 10-1-0 in the Ivy League. Here on Sports Radio 950, the Penn Sports Network.
Hi there. Welcome to Chili's. My name's Ashley. What are you up for today?
Ooh, I'm going to try your Triple the Cheese Smokehouse Bacon Burger.
Because my kids ask me so many questions, all of my thoughts start with the word because.
Excellent.
Are you stuck in a rut? Pepper in some fun with one of Chili's new Smokehouse Bacon Burgers. They're mammoth-sized burgers with something a little extra. We're talking the thickest, tastiest cut of apple and smoked bacon you've ever seen. Only at Chili's. Pepper in some bacon. Pepper in some fun.
Penn fans, if it's enhanced coverage of the Quakers you crave, then sign up for the Red and Blue resource that provides us, the Penn Sports Network. Exclusive access to live and on-demand video and audio webcasts of football, men's and women's basketball, wrestling, volleyball, and more, all available on PennAthletics.com. There's also the Penn Men's Basketball Weekly Podcast, taking you inside the program with insight from head coach Glenn Miller every episode. Select the package that suits your Penn passion best. Register online at PennAthletics.com.
picking up where the action left off. It's Red and Blue Rewind, presented by Comcast Sportsnet. Now bringing you a complete recap and reaction from coaches and players and analysis of the final stats. Back to Vince Curran and Brian Seltzer.
Well, the Palestra filing out after a thrilling 73-69 victory over the Harvard Crimson. Each squad putting up tremendous amount of fight, but it is the 10 Quakers, this young developing group, that just this one out to get to 1-0 in the Ivy League. And with that, welcome to the Red and Blue Rewind Comcast Sportsnet postgame show alongside Vince Curran, Brian Seltzer, Jesse Deming back at our Sports Radio 950 studios in Bala Plaza. And this victory is a great win for the 10 Quakers.
Man, you're tremendous. Your spirits when the Quakers win are off the charts. And when it's not going so well, you're like an Eagles fan. Your whole week is determined by how the Quakers do. This is one that is an important win for the Quakers for one big reason. Evan Harris kind of punks you in the first half, tries to question your manhood, tries to beat you down a little bit. When somebody does that to you, the best way to get them back is to go and win the game. All Evan Harris wants to do is win, and when he goes and gets you like that, the best thing he can do, rather than go back and, as I said in the second half, foil up your knuckles and drill him in the socks or something like that, go beat him. Now he's got to drive up to Princeton, having just lost another Ivy League game.
Princeton involved in action tonight, and we'll use this first segment of the Red and Blue Rewind Comcast Sportsnet postgame show to go around the Ancient Eight on the Abner's out-of-town scoreboards. These two are finals. Columbia, big win for the light blue, 71-58. They stormed into New Haven and rolled over James Jones. Turn it off, man.
How does that happen?
Yeah, turn it off.
This is what we're going to find out. Joe Scott crosses you and gets run out of town. James Jones gives you the famous turn it off interview from last year, and now has stepped on his, stubbed his toe. Now Tommy Hammaker tonight says, "Oh, I don't do radio interviews." What do you get? Don't cross the self. The Malloy, the stealthy Malloy.
It doesn't work against guys like Mike Krzyzewski, but who knows, maybe it's the cycle Tommy Hammaker.
There you go.
So Columbia cruises against Yale and New Haven 71-58. Columbia 8-10 overall and 1-2 in the Ivy League. And they're now matched in the standings by the Bulldogs, who dropped to 7-10. Cornell edges and pulls away from Brown 3-0 in Providence. A 75-64 triumph against Winters.
Yeah. Coach Donahue's team on the road in a game where they were down early, so they had to fight back. 42 points in the second half is a pretty big number for them. So that's a good win at Brown. Now they go to Yale tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see if Yale gets a... Yale always got up for Penn when Penn was the best team in the league to pick to win it. Now they're going to have Cornell coming in as the favorite. If Yale shows up tomorrow night or whether they've completely quit.
Well, Yale's already backed itself into a must-win situation. They're 1-2.
They have to win.
Yeah. And, and where they're going to make up ground is against a team like Cornell.
Have to.
And their first crack is tomorrow.
Yep.
That's a tough road trip for Steve Donahue and company, but it gets off on a positive note for his program, 75-64 over Brown and Providence. And it is a duel at Jadwin with 4:42 to go in the second half. The Tigers on top of the big green, 49-45.
Talk about one that just got to be painful to watch. you look at it, oh, my eyes. Oh, my eyes are burning. I can't see.
Brutal.
Some basketball fans. Nobody does Philly sports better than Comcast Sportsnet. Tune into Sportsnet every night at 6:30 and 10. And catch the latest highlights, news, scores, and updates on all of your favorite teams. Even after the games go off, the game goes on. Comcast Sportsnet. Nobody does Philly sports better. For more than 60 years, Independence Blue Cross has offered quality healthcare products and services designed specifically to meet the changing healthcare needs of its customers. In the Philadelphia area alone, Independence Blue Cross provides health insurance coverage to more than 2.8 million people. For more information on Independence Blue Cross, visit its website online at IDX.com.
And now, let's get back to two chuckleheads talk football, presented by Diet Pepsi Max.
next on the agenda. Wear a team jersey or paint the chest. Bill, your thoughts.
Have to go team jersey. It's so obvious.
Wrong again, smart guy. Paint the chest. It takes passion and artistry to paint the chest.
You're wrong.
No, you
no,
are.
You
no,
are.
You are. Anyways, next up, the wave. Like it or hate it.
I like the wave.
Me too.
If it were still 1989,
come
the wave
on.
Is about as cool as acid wash peg jeans.
The wave is a timeless classic.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are. Okay, next up, fans are not off of the game.
Inexcusable. I say no to nodding off. Wake up, people.
I agree. Inexcusable.
Wait, we agree? Why is it inexcusable?
Because they can just have a Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine. We've got nothing to argue about here.
Well, how do you spell ginseng?
That's obvious. G-I-N-S-I-N-G.
Nice, but you spelled it wrong, Captain Gray Matter. It's E-N-G.
Sound it out. It's ginseng. Ing. You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are.
Zero-calorie Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
Penn basketball fans, if you're looking for a cheesecake in University City, there's no better place than Abner's Cheesecake, a neighborhood tradition. Located at 38th and Chestnut Street, Abner's provides a full menu of sandwiches and also is available to cater your next event. For more information, visit their website at www.abnerscheesecake.com. www.abnerscheesecake.com. Abner's Cheesecake, a proud sponsor of Penn basketball. We're all concerned about the cost of healthcare. And there's a company that's made a serious commitment to doing something about it. That's United Healthcare. And they provide plans designed to offer more for your money. United Healthcare makes it easy to get the care you need, when and where you need it. The plans provide access to more than 520,000 healthcare professionals nationally, including more than 21,000 in Pennsylvania alone. A consumer-driven health plan, CDHPS, costs less money up front, but they don't give you less. These plans come with online tools and wellness programs that can help you get and stay healthy and save on your coverage. And as a United Healthcare member, you receive discounts not offered by traditional insurance, like a LASIK eye surgery, health club memberships, and more. United Healthcare, healing healthcare together. Find out more at unitedhealthcare.com. United Healthcare Services Incorporated. Insurance coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliates.
Apologies for that technical difficulty as the Penn Quakers get a 73-69 victory over the Harvard Crimson. I think we last left you in the midst of the Abner's out-of-town scoreboard. So once again, just to put a final note on that, 71-58, Columbia on top of Yale. So Columbia and Yale now both 1-2 in the Ivy League. Cornell improves to 3-0, 75-64, and drops Brown to 1-2. And right now with 2:04 to go in the second half, 51-45, Princeton on track to get their competition started on a positive note after a 3-12 showing in the non-conference. And right here at the Plestra, it was 73-69. We're going to take one break again and get you reset and have some audio highlights and come back and wrap things up on the post-game show. And then we can take some calls if you want to talk Penn, if you want to talk anything else going on in Philly sports. The number
Super Bowl?
Yeah, Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. And the numbers are 610-632-0950. Again, 610-632-0950 and Penn 950 on the cell. A free call for all singular wireless customers. We'll be right back.
Penn basketball fans, PECO isn't just committed to providing you with reliable, affordable energy. It's committed to the community. PECO supports a wide variety of arts, educational, environmental, and neighborhood programs for Quaker Hoops fans of all ages. And PECO employees volunteer thousands of hours as board members, mentors, coaches, and tutors. It's all part of PECO's commitment to customers and the community. For more information on PECO's community involvement, visit their website at www.pico.com.
Fans, be sure to visit the official online store of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Get apparel for all of Penn's 33 varsity programs and Ivy League championship gear for men's basketball, men's golf, women's lacrosse, and men's and women's tennis. There's also gifts and collectibles like commemorative replicas fans of Franklin Field and the Plestra. Everything's delivered right to your home with the click of a button, so start shopping today at PennAthletics.com. Fans, be sure to visit the official online store of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Get apparel for all of Penn's 33 varsity programs and Ivy League championship gear for men's basketball, men's golf, women's lacrosse, and men's and women's tennis. There's also gifts and collectibles like commemorative replica stands of Franklin Field and the Plestra. Everything's delivered right to your home with the click of a button, so start shopping today at PennAthletics.com. 73,
72-69, the final score. The Penn Quakers on the board in conference competition. They're 1-0 in the 8-8 and improved to 6-12 on the season, stopping a three-game slide. In a game that was really tight throughout, it was played very well. The Quakers' largest lead was 9 points, Harvard by 2. It went back and forth, back and forth. But the Quakers managed to cling on and improve in the conference as they get it started.
4,500 here at the Palestra, and it seemed like a lot more than that. Pretty good crowd, got a lot of student spirit, and a game that was back and forth and competitive. And as I've said a couple of times, you're going to have great wins, and you're going to feel like you stole one, and you're going to have wins that are losses that are disheartening. And I don't know that the Quakers stole one, but they did enough to win the game. A disheartening loss for Tommy Amaker's crew. But I think everybody out there in the Quaker Nation probably is quite happy about that, especially given the antics of one Mr. Evan Harris in the first half.
And very much so to that point. It was a scrum that developed between him and Justin Riley that happened out on the floor that ultimately resulted in Evan Harris being flagged for an intentional foul, Justin Riley a personal foul. But the biggest part of that development was that Andreas Shriver, a big part of Penn's front court off the bench, jumped off the bench, and that meant he was ejected, as was Brennan Votel. So the Quakers, as we turn to the audio highlights, entered the second stanza down some bodies on the block. And Justin Riley was playing a little bit hurt, and also with 3 personal fouls. So we will pick up the action about midway through the second half. The Harvard Crimson managed to get up on top. The Penn Quakers, though, were able to pull back, and they answered with some big buckets.
Checking by Jack Eggleston, again, putting pressure on the Harvard defense with the Penn offense. Jack Eggleston just beats everybody down the floor and then gets the ball and attacks.
Off the inbounds, Grandieri pump fakes. Top of the arc, Riley. A long two. Can't throw. Eggleston taps it in for the deuce on the left block. Awareness from the Penn freshman puts Penn up by 4, 42-38. And that was the score at that point. We'll shift it about, let's say, 40 points more in this game, as it was a tense final few minutes. Back and forth with leads changing and 1-point leads and edges. And this one was a big one that the Quakers took, and they would not look back from it.
It's knocked into the bucket by Evan Harris. He tried for the block, but he knocked it through.
Could have been a goaltend, I thought.
And there was a shot on the far left baseline by, I believe, Tyler Bernardini. And Vincent was only fitting that because Evan Harris factored into the storyline and the equation in this contest.
That he scored one for the wrong team.
Just an absolutely essential bucket right there for the Penn Quakers. And they managed to get that one to go through. Ultimately, the Quakes would get the nail in the coffin as time was winding down. 28 on the shot clock, a minute 24 to go, and 3-point edge. Tyler Bernardini, far side left. Tyler takes it in, strong move, no, Jack follows and delivers on the block. 72-67. 72-67, the final score would be 73-69. The Penn Quakers pick up Ivy League victory number 1 by improving to 6-12 on the year, 1-0 in conference, dropping Harvard to 6-13 and 1-2 in the 8-8 race. Home man, it's around this time as we're getting set to open up the phones a little bit as we'll take it up until...
We're going to do our player of the game?
I was about to say, it's time. Time for the Smokey Joe's player of the game.
I might have some... There's an eighth grade game going on here afterwards that we're going to get the privilege of watching. There's about a 6'5" eighth grader out there. He might be my player of the game. Look at the size of this kid. He was sporting an earring, too. The earring going as an eighth grader. This is, we're going to get to watch a little more hoops.
Okay, they've come a long way from Beverly Hills.
So it's number 21 for Beverly Hills is my player of the game. Or, if I have to name a Quaker, there are a couple of worthy candidates. Brian Grandier, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. I think you could absolutely make a case for Brian, but if it comes down to, I think, a big impact on the game. Tyler Bernardini, 6'12" from the floor, 2-5" from 3, 6-6" from the line. A rebound.
What?
It was a big rebound. So 20 points, 1 rebound, an assist, a block, a steal, a couple of fouls, 1 foul. Tyler Bernardini.
gets it tonight for the Quakers.
So Tyler Bernardini with his fifth career 20-point game in just his first season is the Smokey Joe's player of the game. Smokey Joe's is, of
where
course,
is it, Brian?
Well, it is first and foremost the Penn Institution.
Oh, we've been told to add that to the
I've been
about
saying that all year.
Have you really?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And, man, it is located on 40th Street between Walnut and Locust. So Tyler Bernardini, congratulations once again on being a Smokey Joe's player of the game. And how about this, McMahon, as you take a look at some stat notes, 17 to 21 from the foul line for the Red and Blue.
Well, I said it, as the game wound down, Harvard at 18 for 28 from the free throw line, the Quakers 17 for 21. That's the difference. In a close game like that, you have to make your free throws. Quakers only turned the ball over 15 times, so they do a decent job taking care of it. Shoot 26 for 60 from the floor. Not great, but 15 offensive rebounds. So very efficient, very good job of finishing the game and just contributions across the board.
73-69 is the final score as that wraps up the Red and Blue Rewind Comcast Sportsnet postgame show. But don't fear, Vin Man and I are here for another 37 minutes before Sports Chatter comes your way on Sports Radio 950. So, Vin Man, what do you think? We can do this. If people would like to call in and talk about the Quakes, they can certainly do that. But we'll open the floor for all things sports in Philadelphia.
All things sports in Philadelphia? All right, I'm in, Chelsea. What
all right,
do you want
so
to do?
There's the Super Bowl this weekend. There's Donovan McNabb sticking by his stance that he wants the Eagles to add playmakers.
Ryan Westbrook, by the way. I want to add playmakers. I mean, come on.
Don't blow it here. We've got a whole another 35 minutes to go.
I want playmakers. What does that mean?
I think it's just stating the obvious.
Yeah, I mean, of course you want playmakers.
Yeah.
And Westbrook say, I want playmakers.
Sure.
But it's like all of a sudden that's the thing to say. We just got to get a couple more playmakers. Like all of a sudden the high ankle sprain became the injury of choice. Oh, it used to be an ankle sprain. Now it's the high ankle sprain. And the plantar fascia was the basketball injury for all those times. All of a sudden, somebody fed them this new word of, okay, I want playmakers. I want more playmakers. Give me a break.
No, they need them, good man. They do indeed. All right, so the next broadcast of Penn Men's Basketball.
I thought we were on to the 950 port.
No, then we got to break one more time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I take all that back.
So the next broadcast of Penn Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network is tomorrow. That is Saturday, February the 2nd. We return to the 88.5 WXPN-FM airwaves to tip off our Ivy League Saturday night package. Dartmouth drops by the Palestra. They are trailing Princeton by 3 with 30 seconds to go. And Dartmouth has fallen victim to the Quakers in their last 21 tilts. Our coverage begins at 6:45 with the Pepsi pregame show. Tip time is set for 7 o'clock. The executive producer of Penn Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network is Brian Head. Our producer is the outstanding Betsy Deming.
Betsy's going to be sticking around, though. He's got 27 minutes with us.
Now for my partner, Vince Kerr, this is Brian Seltzer saying so long from the Palestra, where the Penn Quakers improved to 1-0 in conference play with a 73-69 triumph over the Harvard Crimson. Have a great night from all of us here on the Penn Sports Network. If you want to dial in and talk with us, 610-632-0950. Once again, 610-632-0950. #950 on the sale. It's a free call for all singular wireless customers.
2007-2008 Penn Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network has been brought to you in part by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, CNH, the Comcast Network, Comcast Sportsnet, Holiday Inn Historic District, Independence Blue Cross, the Inn at Penn and Penn A Restaurant, Pico Energy, the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News, Sprint Term, United Healthcare, and World Cafe Live. For extended coverage of the preceding game, log on to PennAthletics.com.
Sports Radio 950. WPEN Philadelphia. Home of the Brian Dawkins Show. The NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl.